The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay,
thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Training camp is open for business. Just came back from practice. The stands are packed. And fans are excited. The team is upbeat. Everyone's excited, including the coaches. And, of course, yours truly here, Fred Kirsch, here for the next 2 hours. Paul, Andy, and Eric are on their way down. They just had a little player access after practice today. So as soon as they get to talk with everyone, they'll be right here any moment. Tom Brady talking today. All the assistant coaches are available today, so lots to do out there on the field. They'll be here any moment now. Again, we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Calls and emails here in PFW in Progress, the place to talk Patriots on air. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 855-PATS-500 if you want to call toll-free. We'll do it all here. PFW in Progress. So, it was great out there. Like I said, the stands were packed. People were excited. When Brady came out, huge roar. When Gronkowski came out, it might have been even a bigger roar than for Tom Brady. Everyone was excited to see Gronkowski out there right on day one, partaking in the drills. Now, we think that his reps were a little bit minimized when it came to a lot of the team drills. He was out there, but when it came to a lot of the 11-on-11 stuff, 7-on-7 stuff, I think he was kind of sitting out those. But in terms of everything else, he's out there, and they're going to ease him back in.
But what happened when I was gone?
But as Bill Belichick said yesterday in his press conference, Gronkowski is clear to play. So, you know, we've got time to work him into the preseason games, and you know, barring anything else, he will be ready on week one in September down in Miami. So that's great news. Good to see Darrell Revis out there. Of course, Brady looking sharp, as he always does right at the start of camp. Doing a lot of work with a group that consisted of Gronkowski, Kenbrell Tompkins, Amendola, and Edelman. And those were the main guys that when they went off to the side and worked on a little red zone patterns and timing and things, those were the guys he did it with. So tomorrow, you know, maybe LaFell gets put in that group and Boyce, and maybe Tompkins goes off to the side with Amendola, who knows. But at least on day one, that was a group that Brady was working on a lot when they went off to the side to do, you know, red zone throws and things like that. So excellent stuff out there. Kembrel Tompkins made the catch of the day, at least when I was there, a diving catch in the corner of the end zone. May not have actually been in bounds, but it was a beautiful catch where he just laid out for the ball. So that was good. And he just stomped in. What's going on?
I don't believe I stomped.
You kind of stomp around when you walk.
I was just trying to get here quickly and help you out.
So what's going on?
Well, they show no signs of coming off the field anytime soon. So
really?
They finished practice. They did the everybody together. But now they've broken up into sort of their post-practice groups. And some younger players are doing things. And looks like they're going to be on the field for a little while. So
practice was actually moved up in half hour this morning. It was supposed to start at 9:15. Really didn't start to what, 9:45?
9:45, yes. Yeah. And it is, it's starting to rain pretty good now.
That's why you left.
Well, that was part of it, but media doesn't look like it's going to start for a good 15 or 20 minutes, and I didn't want to leave you here for too long. Thought I'd come and start to kind of paint the picture of what's going on in the field, and we have very capable Paul Perillo, and Eric's out there too.
I knew that was coming.
So I wanted to come in. I did one little note that at the very end of practice, and I've always wondered this. It looked like the rookie running backs, James White, Stephen Houston, and then the first-year running back, Jonas Gray, they were putting pads on to do the post-practice work because technically I believe they could have worn pads all day long because they've had a couple days of the practice. They arrive on Monday.
Right.
They're out there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I think they don't do it just for consistency. You don't want one guy in pads, one guy not in pads and all that, but I haven't really noticed that in the past, but the rookie running backs, and then they're probably working on pass catching, and you want them catching passes with pads on because it's more realistic. So that was just the noticeable thing. I don't know what you've talked about, so I won't go into too much.
No, just setting the stage.
Gronk is out there, not doing much.
Talked about that, although I did mention that when they went off to the side, I mentioned the group that he's working with, Amendola, Gronk, Edelman, and Tompkins seemed to be the little group that they were working with most.
And working with Brady.
Yep.
Sort of, just to paint the picture of who they're with.
Right.
Interestingly, I think on defense, they finished up late with some hurry-up offense against hurry-up defense, which was, I don't know how you want me to term it, but a lot of really good players who are returning from last year.
Right.
But in that group, going against Brady, on the field on defense were Tavon Wilson as an extra defensive back and Travis Hawkins as an extra defensive back. So Travis Hawkins, really, I find interesting, is an undrafted rookie.
They weren't a nickel? They were just in a four-secondary?
No, an extra defensive back. They were they were in some sort of nickel package, just as hurry up, late in a game, whatever.
Yeah.
And on the defensive line, Silver Salinga was out there. So sort of non-traditional guys that you'd say are starters.
But you could also make the case that's where they ended last season.
Well, Travis Hawkins didn't.
No.
Travis Hawkins is a nobody.
Salinga was.
Salinga, you could argue that. Yeah. And you're down an Easley, you're down a Kelly, who are not practicing right now.
Right.
So, but for Hawkins, when you're looking for that first reason to differentiate between nobodies, that's a reason to me. He was on the main field, whereas all the other young players were on another field.
They saw something that said, let's see
for some
what he
reason
looks
in the
like.
Spring, he was. And for Tavon Wilson, who. You know, I'm of the belief he's fighting for a roster spot. This his third year.
Right. Everyone's really given that job to Daron Harmon.
Correct.
Right. But
I still think it's Daron Harmon's job, and I still think Wilson's in a fight for a roster spot. But you know, just he's getting a lot of reps with a higher level grouping, sort of.
And you know, keep in mind, folks, that there were no pads today.
Nope.
We're just talking about helmets and shorts.
New shorts.
By the way, which Andy doesn't like.
Well. They have stripes. They have like the game pant almost stripe on the side. Not all the way. They stop a little bit before the bottom.
About 3 inches.
And then on the back of the right leg on your hamstring, it says, I think Patriots sort of diagonally across them, which almost looks like a mistake. Like the machine moved and it's not supposed
to
be there.
You're not a fan.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And they look old to me too.
Well, they're kind of old school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
It's almost like an off blue. It's not the Patriots blue.
Well, faded.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's designed that way.
Yeah, it's like those old gym pants you
I don't care
wear.
For it. Yeah. I don't care for it. It's different, sure. I'm sure they'll sell because they're different. It's Nike, but yeah.
Okay.
I could do without them.
Jerseys,
did you talk about that?
Well, the wearing numbers.
Yes, they had them on, so that was nice.
Which is nice. I made the observation, not sure you guys necessarily agree with me, but I think Vince Wilfork looks a little svelter.
Yeah, I get in trouble with that game. I don't necessarily. He didn't look fat. You know, some people thought he might come back fat from the Achilles. He certainly isn't fat.
Yeah.
I don't know how much svelter he is at this point.
I think he's a little slimmer, and I think he's getting ready to play a little one gap this year.
Yeah, I think you're reading way, way, way beyond what's out there.
Okay.
You need to pump the brakes. You also need to pump the brakes on your Brandon LaFell looks good. Yeah. He had two bad drops later in practice.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, that's not
bad good. Drops. Yeah. And they had bad drops consecutively. It was him and somebody else. And the defense had a few nice pass defenses in some 7-on-7 work in the red zone.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo slapped a ball away. I think Brandon Browner slapped a ball away.
One of the unknowns had a nice play in the corner of the end zone. Forget his name. 29?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 right. I got
Malcolm Gladwell.
not Gladwell. It's Butler. The Butler did it in the cone of the end zone with his hand.
Malcolm Butler.
We got to see the extended uprights for the first time.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Matt Chatham, who was a special teams guy, spent a lot of time breaking that down.
Oh, yeah.
Steven Gostkowski struggled a little bit in his kicks with those extended uprights. Hit the uprights twice, missed wide right a couple times. So it wasn't
the best. It's first day of camp.
Right. Wasn't the best. Plus, he had a little extra pressure. The owner was like midway between he and the uprights, kind of watching.
Right. You mentioned it. Well, it was almost like the guy walking in front of the guy trying to tee off.
Right.
He's just kind of wanders in front.
Except you can't say anything because he's the owner.
Right.
He's allowed to.
He owns this.
Right. He owns me. He owns this. He owns that.
Little Jimmy Garoppolo, I thought he looked a little nervous.
He did.
There.
I thought he looked a little better late in practice. They did some red zone stuff, some 7-on-7. I thought he looked a little bit better. But, yeah, not, I wouldn't say a exceptional or great day for
him. I asked Paul, do you think it'd be fair to say that there's more people here than at his college football games? And Paul said probably, because he's the lower level football expert here.
We could ask that guy that we had on the show. Remember we had like some guy who wrote a book about him or something?
Right. How many people do they average?
Do you think legitimately, A, is there a legitimate competition for the backup job? And B, if the loser of that competition is Ryan Mallett, will he be cut?
I would think so, to the second question. But right now, I mean, if you had to twist my arm, I'd say the clear backup is Mallett, right?
I don't know.
Judging by the reps and how they look.
Yeah, but that's how it started today. We were talking about that. Pretty much everybody. So
right.
Seemed like returners kind of got the...
But if the season started today, Mallett's your backup.
Yes, but it doesn't.
I
feel like Bill Belichick. It doesn't start
today.
It doesn't start for a month and a half.
Exactly.
I get to learn about Jimmy Garoppolo for a month and a half.
That's all I'm saying is right now there's no apparent movement in that.
That's not fair to Jimmy Garoppolo as a first-year player.
No, of course not. I'm just saying.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just saying anyone that, you know, was looking for information that would indicate Garoppolo is you know, making any movement, there isn't any at this point. There is no indication at this point.
Right. It's a clear divide. Brady is the one. Those others are the backups, and Mallett is the backup.
Yeah.
Because that was also very, you know, a lot of stuff. You know, Brady goes with a group one way. The other two go the other way with, you know, so there's not even, it's not quite as clear, though, as it could be. I mean, if it were really, you know, there's a possibility you could have Mallett go with Brady and work with that group. And so there's still that divide, kind of, that it's not quite that clear-cut that he is the backup.
And then as far as offensive line, they pretty much are, you know, where they were last year. I think you've got...
Status is quo.
You've got Wendell at center. You've got Connolly and Mankins on either side. Vollmer, now that he's back from his injury, is back at right tackle and Solder's at left tackle. But the guy coming off the bench, the super sub, seems to be Josh Klein.
Certainly today. Now... Yeah. You know, Bill cautioned us about anybody reading too much into one day or one rep or one anything. But he was that, and all the others were kind of on the other field with the younger group and the quarterbacks and everything. I did want to point out late in practice during the hurry-up group I was talking about earlier, Wendell had a bad shotgun snap.
Oh.
Brady got it, but he had to jump way up to his right. It was probably 4 feet off to one side and 3 feet too high.
And we saw two of those bad ones last
year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's fighting for his job. I think he's going to be out.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether it's Conley moving to center and then one of the other, Klein playing guard.
Or Cannon.
Or everybody keeps saying Cannon. I don't see Cannon take a lot of reps at guard.
Yeah.
It's like this. It's this theory that no one has waited to see light.
He has played guard.
Some. Yeah. But he's a tackle to me. He seems like all his reps are.
Also getting a lot of reps on special teams.
Yes. Cannon. As that middleman on the kick return.
Right.
Josh Boyce.
Yeah.
The first or taking the first reps as kick returner with Shane Vereen as usually the off returner there. That's your first grouping to get an eye on that. Yeah. You know, everybody talks about that kick return game. needed life last year. Got the little blip from Blunt. Now he's gone.
Right.
Looks like Boyce is going to be the guy.
On offense, we saw a lot of little swing passes to running backs,
yep.
getting them involved.
Which is, you know, I know Bob Sosie's big on that, and other people sort of theorizing the running backs could be a big part because you now have Vereen and you have James White projected in that type of a role as a pass-catching running back. Yep. James White's a little thicker than I thought or perceived or whatever.
Okay.
Well, just a little bit.
Yep. Gerard Mayo, guy who ended the season on IR, looks 100% out there.
Well, I would say health-wise, they look really good because you only have Roy Finch was out there, so I'm assuming he's been removed from NFI. And some of the guys that are working to the side, which
Kelly, it
looks pretty good to me.
Dobson
doesn't look as good,
yeah.
but Slater. I mean, you're to the point where I think. Relatively quickly, that group could dwindle. Now,
yeah.
it'll probably grow because other people get hurt. But
yeah.
I think Dobson is behind, obviously. I don't think it's been all that long. He's been out of a walking boot. But he was a little behind. But I think Easley was running seemingly full speed with Joe Van Allen tethered to his back. So I think health-wise, they're starting camp in, you know, with Gronk practicing, with Mayo practicing, with Wilfork practicing. They're starting camp in a pretty good yeah. spot.
Now, I will say Easley has one weird gait.
Yes.
I mean, you could tell it's Dominique Easley from a mile away the way he walks.
And you saw him, said, I don't know, and you said, oh, yeah, with that walk, that's Easley.
Right.
And
yeah.
I think that is kind of funny that we now know them. And a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
You know, we always went with McCourty and Brewski and different guys
yeah.
have a certain gait.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how much of his is to knee surgery
right.
related or,
right.
or whatever, but I think he'll be out there sooner rather than
you
later.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Based on the running and everything. And based on what we saw in the very last mini camp practice, he was out there doing drills. So I think he's going to be pretty close.
Yeah. I did like it. I did like the look when Tompkins and LaFell were out in the field at the same time. Those are bigger guys. And they look good out there on either side.
Yeah, you want them to get off the bus first.
Right. The question is, can they do anything?
Can they get open
yeah.
and catch the ball?
Right.
Two things that are issues.
But they certainly do look good.
And I think Tom Brady has been very vociferous in his praise of Danny Amendola.
Yes.
You're not allowed to quote him, but he seemed to really lay
it
on
pretty
good. A lot
of positive vocal exchanges.
Now, I don't know if that is because Amendola looks really good and Brady really is happy, or maybe over the course of the year he's learned, who's this blonde at Redskins camp, and will she be there when we get there?
She's not that great.
I kind of like her.
Keep looking at her. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm going to keep looking at her.
Yeah.
What was I talking about?
Amendola and Brady.
Oh, I wonder if he really is doing things very well, or maybe Brady picked up on this is a guy that needs some positive reinforcement because, you know, as a cornerback, you're sort of a coach.
Right.
And you know, you're massaging egos, you're yelling at guys that need yelling at, you're kicking guys, whatever. I wonder if he sort of learned that Amendola needs to be massaged a little.
Well, whatever the reason, I picked up on that too. And, you know, I just think that, you know, I read into it as Brady just trying to get the most out of him and
mm-hmm.
encouraging him early on and trying to get on that same page early on because he knows he needs him.
Right.
I mean, this is the guy last year that was their high-paid free agent pickup.
Well, and he knows he needs people.
Yeah.
Edelman, Gronkowski, and somebody else at the very least have to be healthy and stand out. You know, you can't get by with one or one and a half, two. He needs some – there's going to be some stepping up from – Amendola, Boyce, Tompkins, Dobson. Of those four, you probably need two of them to really sort of step
yep.
up in their second season with Brady.
Yep. So, all right. So that's kind of setting the table there. Who did you? So you didn't talk to anyone?
No. They weren't. They didn't appear very close to coming off.
Okay. All right.
So the Brady is speaking, Mayo speaking, Wilfork speaking. Basically, the remaining captains are speaking, and all the assistant coaches are going to be speaking for a short period of time. And we have a new backdrop out there. So if you watch interviews
right.
on the field, on Patriots Today or whatever, there is now a backdrop from
Optum. That wasn't just simply blocking out the Revs practice so people couldn't spy on them?
No, it wasn't.
Oh. Okay.
Are the Revs going to make the playoffs?
Not the way they're playing now.
They've lost, like, they're on a Jake Peavy-like streak.
They were looking pretty good. I think they're above the Mendoza line.
They've lost seven in a row, though.
Yeah.
Lost seven in a row or not won seven in a row?
No, they've lost
seven
in a row.
Are they bad. Are they still above the red line?
They're
in the
tied
standings?
For that last spot.
Yeah.
In a three-way tie.
Yeah. So.
And they were off to a pretty good start.
They actually started slow.
Or wherever. At some point they were doing
well. And then they got hot. Now, ever since, I don't know, about 3 weeks ago, they haven't won a game.
Kevin, what'd you do?
Yeah.
You broke the revs.
I don't know what's going on with them.
Did you go on a trip with them or something and rub off your bad luck?
Probably.
Yeah.
They've also been on the road a lot, though, so that hasn't helped.
Yeah, they play Saturday night at 7:30.
Yeah,
so
7 of their next
good
nine
take
games
if you want to
home.
Come to practice on Saturday here. Come to practice, spend the day at Patriot Place, and finish off the day with a Revs game.
Pretty cool. I saw a picture in Kansas City where a big sign that said, "Welcome to Blue Hell" or something. That looks kind of cool. Do they have a good atmosphere in KC?
Yes, they do. They have a very nice soccer stadium.
At Sporting?
Is that what it is? Sporting Park, I believe it's called.
Sporting.
Does playing on the road really matter in soccer a lot? Or
yeah,
let me ask, in MLS a lot?
Well, for MLS it does. It's like
interesting.
The splits are very dramatic.
Interesting. Okay, that's enough soccer talk. It's got football. In case anyone wondered, Stephen Ridley had his Batman cleats on to open camp.
Yeah. Okay. All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Paul and Eric will be here shortly. And more importantly, we're going to get lunch at some point.
Hopefully. I'm starving.
Yeah. But let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Everyone's excited. The phones are lighting up. Let's start it out with Brad from the Eastern Shore. He's livid at the Redskins practice plans. Brad, why are you livid?
Fred, I have sent you an email, so hopefully you'll be able to read that to your own email and see what can be done. It is ridiculous. The Redskins have a lottery system that you have to enter to see if you can get to go see practice.
Are you kidding me?
I am kidding you not.
Now, this is the team years ago that also tried charging for practice. Right?
Exactly.
Now, Brad, do they have it? Have you been to the facility that where they practice?
No.
Because I'm wondering if what they have for space limitations, if this is a space issue.
I guarantee this is what it is. It's just a way to gather more names for their database. And so they make it, you know, they create the demand. But really all it is to register people and get their info.
Well, what do you want to register Patriots fans for?
It's for all the fans, though, right?
Yeah, it's for anybody. Yeah,
oh,
it's for anybody. Okay. And anybody that wants to go see a Redskins training camp practice has to enter a lottery and – you get to, you know, get a blind draw and see whether you get picked or not.
I guarantee that you'll get picked. I think it's just a front. I think it's just a front to gather
names for
the
database. How do you guarantee that? How can you possibly?
I can't believe that they have so many people going to Redskins camp that they can't fit them all in. I can't believe that.
I can't believe you're guaranteeing
anything. I think it's just a facade to get names for the day. And by the way, it's not a bad idea.
Anyway, I wanted you guys to know, I hate not being able to call in as much as I used to years ago.
And we miss you.
We listen to every single podcast. Well, I changed banks, and I'm now the director of the department, so it becomes
a little
more
Well, congratulations.
Difficult.
Now, which department is that? Customer service?
I work with troubled commercial loans.
Oh. Troubled commercial loans.
So yeah, you're a collector. You got a baseball bat.
Only on the commercial side. We're talking big dollars, not people's cars.
Oh, good.
What
a banker's hours. You shouldn't be working a lot.
Unfortunately, in this line of work, you do.
A lot of evening and night
podcast.
Work.
I am like so many other people. You know, I'm driving down the road, and if somebody looks at me, I'm sitting there laughing my head off because Andy says something stupid, or Paul and Fred are getting into a fight. And so I just wanted to give you guys a thumbs up for slogging your way through the summer, and we are now heading towards hopefully a phenomenal football season. I am hoping to be able to get down to the practice so I can meet you guys.
Oh, you'll be there. Don't worry. Fred guaranteed it.
Well, sign up for that lottery and let us know how it goes. I'm pretty sure you'll
get it. I've signed up. Yeah. The worst part was it didn't even tell you when the lottery was going to be performed.
Let me ask you, what info did they ask you for?
Name, phone number, email. Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with what you were saying, Fred. It's just that I talked with some coworkers here in Pennsylvania, and they said, "Oh yeah, that's been that way for the last couple of years."
Yeah, they're looking for. They're just building their database, which is not a bad idea.
So we're going to do it now.
Please don't.
I don't know if we will, but I know one person. If I tell about it, we'll do it.
Patriots practice. I thoroughly enjoyed going to a Patriots practice years ago, and being able to stand, you know, 20 feet away from Drew Bledsoe throwing touchdowns to Terry Glenn. So,
yeah.
Well, we'll see you 2 weeks from Monday.
All right, Brad. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
What is how valuable is this database of which you speak?
I think that it's the holy grail. I think, you know, you can talk about social all you want, Facebook, Twitter, but the marketers still tell you that the most effective way to communicate with fans and offer them stuff is still email. Still email is more effective marketing than Twitter or Facebook.
See, I just delete it all. Yeah, you know, I have my Hotmail account that I use for anything I need to sign up for, and I literally go through, and if it's not, like, obvious that it's a bill or something I need,
no, I know, but you
I delete.
But stuff that you sign up for or are, you know, big fan of, you don't delete.
Yes, I do.
Really?
There's plenty of stuff. I just delete it. Like, then very rarely that I open, because a lot of stuff you have to get something, do something, order something, like this.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't necessarily want more or any information from the Redskins.
No.
But they have my thing.
Yeah, but if 20% of the people that sign up do want stuff, then good.
I guess.
You know? Because a lot of the people that go to training camp, and it's probably true here, are not people who go to the games because they don't have tickets, they can't afford them, whatever. This is a freebie. But you want to get them in your system somehow.
Is that proven through research?
No, I don't know.
Research?
Oh. I have no idea. I'm just guessing. You know, this is a time.
This is tremendous PFW radio. You're guaranteeing and saying things you have no idea about.
But this is a time where you can go for free. And
no, but it's also a time where I mean, if you're a season ticket holder, a guy who comes, but you have young kids, you don't bring them to games, but you come to this. I mean, there's got to be some overlapping. It's not just distinct groups.
I never said that. Once again.
You just said that most people who come to camp don't go to games.
I don't even think I use the word most. But I think a lot of them probably can't come to games. We're sold out. It's not like, you know.
Yeah, we have new tickets this year, too.
What do you mean new tickets?
I just kind of hit me the whole flexible pricing thing. I knew we had it.
Yeah.
But I gave my opener to a charity, and it's like $111 is the opening value because it's the opener. It's a, I don't know what it is, a marquee game or premium game. I just kind of noticed it. And $45, I think, for preseason.
Preseason.
Is the face value.
Yeah. So for those people who actually sell their tickets, this is a good deal because you're going to make more money. You know? Because you can rarely sell your preseason. So if you're just selling your regular season, you're actually make more money.
You seem experienced in this.
No, of course not. Let's see. Kane is in New Mexico. Hey, Kane.
Hey, guys. I was just calling in to ask you a couple questions.
Shoot.
My first question is, I read an article this morning about the possibility of Jerod Mayo moving to the Mike linebacker spot with Collins on the weak side and Hightower on the strong side, and I was just wondering what you thought about that.
I think that is pretty much, not if not a lock, pretty close to a lock as to how it's going to look.
Yeah, that's what we've been seeing, and that's what we think will happen.
I was a little surprised when we saw it so much, because I was thinking there was still a chance Mayo would go back to the outside and Hightower would move in the middle. But they apparently have not sort of given up on the versatility and the ability that Hightower has on the outside. So I think what you just said and what that article said is exactly what you're going to see.
And did you see if Vince Wilfork's movement was hindered at all?
Doesn't appear to be.
Just today?
Nope. He looks like he's back to Vince. I haven't seen any indication that he's limited in any way.
He's even doing his warm-up runs the same way.
Which is to say.
Which he walks.
Yes.
No, but I think he's lost that weight, actually. I think he's felt.
And that may be. Yeah. But I haven't seen a limp, a hitch, I can't do this or that.
Yeah. He looks good.
Yeah. He looks very good to me.
He honestly looks slimmer to me.
Yep. I'm predicting a big year for Vince. I think not just, he knows people doubt him for a couple different reasons. The contract is a big doubt. You know, people, they basically said, you need to take a pay cut or something here. You're not good enough. You're not of this value anymore. And people are doubting a 30-something who weighs his weight coming off the Achilles injury. I think Vince is a guy that when he has a chip on his shoulder is a little extra motivated. I think he's going to have a very, very good year.
And all right, Kane. You got another question?
Real quick.
Yep.
Okay. Did you see how Asa Watson and Justin Jones were looking?
I saw both of them. They got a lot of reps because, as I said, Gronkowski not taking a lot of reps yet. Nate Byam is out there taking reps as he comes back from ACL, just to make a note. I saw Watson may have caught a touchdown. Yeah, he caught a touchdown diving across the end zone in 7-on-7, sort of on the right side. Jones, I'm still intrigued by his size. He has not done anything physically to wow me yet. You know, I know he supposedly has a ton of potential beyond his size, former basketball player, missed a year and the whole blah, blah, blah. But neither of those guys did all that much to stand out in the first day, but they got a lot of reps.
All right, Kane.
I'll tell you who did stand out. Uh-oh, Manawa knew he had a terrible drop. Terrible drop.
Is that right?
Yeah. And my final question is, I know Roy Finn started out on the non-football injury list, but I know when he practiced today, did you guys hear anything about what happened?
I think he rumblings were he may have just had an issue with the conditioning run, maybe cramped up a little bit or something. A lot of times those NFIs, guys that come in, they can be conditioning run related. And I think based on what he, you know, how quickly he's back and everything, I think that was the case.
All right, Kane, thanks for calling in from New Mexico. Let's go to...
Kane was able to bring some good questions.
No drum.
Yeah, how come we don't have a rim shot? I need a rim shot.
Well, he's busy on the ESPN site. Justin.
Trying to figure out what lunch is.
They have our menu on ESPN.com?
No, but I emailed Cecily.
He called your ass out. Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, I want to share some information I found on Browner, but first I want to address this whole weed thing. I don't smoke weed, and Chester in Poland's a troll without a life for calling in just a slam baked or whatever. Just because someone has a deep voice and stutters a little bit does not mean they're high. And Andy, I'm going to start ask you to stop.
When did this happen?
This was on Tuesday.
What is that? I leave you guys alone.
He struggled to remove the likes that I asked him to like remove, and then that led to people thinking he was high.
Oh, okay.
But as for Browner,
yeah,
I found
Go ahead.
As for Browner, I found that in 2011 he was in the Pro Bowl, which like Dinner never did. And Maxwell, the sixth-round pick Paul likes to reference, had four interceptions all in man-and-man coverage against Knicks, Cruz, Kellen Clemens, and Michael Crabtree. In the Super Bowl, he forced a fumble on Demaryius Thomas and helped the lockdown Decker.
Okay.
Maxwell is still on his rookie contract to me, and Pete Carroll got rid of Browner because he needed to re-sign or not resign, but extend Sherman and Thomas. And to me, it's more of a money decision, not just like he sucks or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody said he sucked, but he lost his job and then they chose to go in a different direction.
And one more thing. I know this doesn't matter much, but in the comments and stuff, they like the fans thought the sky was falling when Browner got suspended or whatever. And it's not like Kyle Arrington where outside of the fan base, people think he's all right, but the fans hate him. But anyway, thank you guys.
Okay.
Well, he was a starter for 36 games, I believe is the number. He started every game he ever played for Seattle. So I don't think it's weird for entrenched fans to think, wow, we're losing a starter or whatever. So I think that's part of it. Yeah, I don't think money was a huge issue. I think I don't know Maxwell very well. I haven't seen him play all that much. I'm not going to say he's good, he's great. He had all these numbers like Justin is saying, or he stinks like Paul may have insinuated. I don't know. I think Seattle was done with Browner, and I just think they were done. For however many combination of reasons, they were done. And I do think there is some question as to how good he is. I mean, we've talked about this, the Gronk and Hernandez, two great tight ends. No, a great tight end and a good, really good, very good, however you want to put the other one. We acquired two cornerbacks this offseason that are veterans. One is great. One is a Hall of Fame-type talent. The other is a Pro Bowl talent, a starting talent, a number one talent.
But even that's better than we've had in a long time.
No, I know, but it's yeah. Still up for debate. No. And those people that are fans of, say, Alphonso Dennard and think he's an ascending talent, remember him? Well, he was a seventh-round pick, but he should have been a second-round pick. It was just the legal issue. Well, I think you could still argue that an ascending Alphonso Dennard might be as good or better than Browner. I don't think that's unrealistic.
And that is realistic, but even then, boy, there's depth now that we haven't had in quite a long time.
No question that you have depth. We saw a lot of Logan Ryan in the slot today, and I wrote this the other day. I think Kyle Arrington is still a relied-upon guy. I think the coaches like him. But he is surrounded by more veteran depth and experience depth than at any time that he's been here, I think.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't stun me if his role is altered, lessened, whatever. I think there's a lot more competition around him.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the cap hit if they got rid of Arrington?
I do not know the answer to that.
But there's probably some savings there, I would think.
I do not know the answer.
I don't think he got that big of a
bonus. He got $8 million guaranteed, if I recall. $8 million bonus type money.
Over 4 years?
I believe so. So $2 million a year, theoretically. But I'd have to look at it.
All right. Sam writes in, training camp is here, he says, but I have to yellow card Andy for a Tuesday's podcast, which I foolishly assumed would be a radio show about Patriots training camp.
And it was.
He talked about everything except training
camp.
Oh,
you're full of crap.
Here are some highlights.
You're full of crap.
Jackie B said how great it was as a fan to be able to come to Gillette and watch preseason practices. Andy said it was a waste of time until the players put on pads. Jackie fell silent.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't think – to me, camp starts Saturday. When they put pads on. And I never said it was a waste of time. I said I didn't like the first 2 days. That I don't care for.
Andy further encouraged Jackie's participation on the show by getting our good friend Christian to call in and ask her cup size. Christian remained a gentleman and did not ask the question, much to Andy's dismay and anger. I believe Jackie's cup size was brought up again by Andy later
nope.
in the show.
Nope.
50 or 60 times, not
no,
during the
that's
commercial break.
Yes.
Andy then decided to show Jackie how to handle the marketing side of PFW's paper subscription. When a fan called in and used the word like too many times for Andy's patience, Andy hung up on him. Good luck getting that fan to sign up for the paper.
I just, like, can't read.
And finally, anytime Andy addresses a caller whose first language or origin isn't from Foxborough, he rolls out the welcome mat by verbally copying their accent.
That was him!
Spouting off any phrase he may have heard in an ethnic restaurant.
Amigo con grande cabeza.
A man from India called in yesterday, and Andy welcomed him onto the show with Buenos dias, Fuenda.
He,
CC, the caller flatly said he was from India, and Andy tried to play it off on Kevin.
It was
Amigo
Kevin.
Con grande cabeza.
Kevin started playing like the Mexican hat dance and everything when I wasn't sure what the guy was.
Either way, it's not right. It's not right. Come on.
And then I said, oh, call center, and the guy cracked up.
Keith in Tampa writes in, hey, guys, glad football is back, but I was just wondering if you heard about Adrian Wilson's tweet. Quote, I never tore my Achilles. I had Haglund's deformity. Do your research, please. End
oh, well,
quote.
You know who tweeted about his torn Achilles?
Who?
Adrian Wilson.
Did we ever officially say that he tore it, or is that just what was assumed?
He did. We never knew anything about it. He was placed on injured reserve with the New England Patriots with a hamstring injury. That I know definitively. The Achilles came up later, and it came through his Twitter feed. His photos and everything.
Okay.
And the more I'm hearing about Adrian Wilson, not a nice guy.
No.
I'm hearing things beyond behind the scenes and at workout facilities that he's kind of a DB.
And what is Haglund's deformity?
I don't know.
Wow.
Google it.
I mean, that's not nice when you have a deformity named after you. Andy's deformity. It's when you're
big head.
Right. Born with a beach ball atop your shoulders.
It's a bony enlargement on the back of the heel.
A bony enlargement on the back of the heel.
Often called, Andy will appreciate this, the pump bump.
Wow. Jamie and
the pump bump. What Jamie does that even mean?
It said because of the rigid backs of pump style shoes can create the pressure that causes this.
Oh. What's a pump style? Like a women's shoe?
Yeah, you know pumps. You've never heard pumps before.
So Adrian Wilson wears pumps.
He had the pump bump.
Seriously, this gets better by the minute.
Jamie writes in from Scotland. Something I feel is being overlooked here is Hightower's ability. I believe we may see him get more responsibility. In the pass rush, for example, like he's done so successfully at Bama, what's your opinion?
Well, that's we'll certainly see. What he's asking for.
Yeah.
It's certainly more plausible with more time on the outside where he's moving back to. And he certainly did it at Alabama. It was one of Nick Saban's praising points of him coming out. Now I just need to see it. The last time I saw it, he pulled his hamstring. Remember that one that I keep I think it was against the Bills as a rookie. Since then, it's been kind of non-existent for various reasons.
He was having a good game up until that point, and then he chased some guy all down the sideline and pulled up. James from Thunder Bay, exciting times. Finally, camp starts. So glad to hear Gronk is good to go, obviously the key to the season. I'm with Andy. I believe Gronk will play 19 games.
Yeah.
He's due some good fortune. Well, outside of being a professional NFLer with women hanging off him,
and a ton of money.
look forward to hearing how everyone looks, in particular the new defensive players. Keep up the great work.
Well, Revis and Browner were out there.
Yeah.
Nothing really stood out from them for me. Who else?
Yeah, I mean, Mayo made a nice play in the end zone. An absolute rocket from Brady that he knocked down.
Well, he was trying to squeeze it in there, and Mayo didn't let him squeeze it in there.
Right.
New guys. There wasn't that much out there.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
No pads on yet.
Josh and Sydney. Football is finally back. Excited even just to see the players running around. What are your thoughts on seeing Ninko return to outside linebacker combined with Easley as a defensive end?
I won't eliminate it.
I think Ninko will find himself at linebacker at least once this season.
Oh, yeah, probably, because you have no depth at linebacker. James Anderson is your only backup, really, at this point.
Right.
And we know he still has the ability. And maybe with Will Smith at defensive end. I think Easley's a little more suited to the inside. You may see him on the edge in sort of packages, but I don't see him as a starting sort of, go out there and play 80% of the snaps as a left defensive end.
Projecting starters based on last year, this gives you a line of Jones, Kelly, Wilfork, Easley, with some combination of Mayo, Hightower, Ninko, and Collins behind them, right?
Yeah.
If Easley plays end.
I think you're going to see a lot of mix and matching in the front seven. I think they have some pretty good versatility, some pretty good athletes. Fred, you think they're going to be a little more aggressive and penetrating. Yeah. I think all of that thrown into a kettle with Matt Patricia, I think you're going to see a lot of different fronts.
I haven't seen the players up close or really even watched Easley play on tape at all to know if this is a legitimate possibility.
Yes.
But given the lack of depth at linebacker, I'd be interested in that lineup. So
yes,
we think
it's a possibility. I don't know how likely it is. It also probably gets less likely the more time he misses. Then you kind of just say focus on one thing. Bill talks about that a lot. If you're behind and then you're trying to learn multiple positions and all that. But I certainly would not rule out defensive end for Easley at times.
Oh, and by the way, I didn't know if you knew that Ray Rice is suspended for 2 games.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I won't say it, but.
And Justin Blackman was arrested for marijuana possession.
Oh, good.
Dominic.
Different Justin, not Justin in Virginia.
No. Dominic in Maryland. Hey, guys, love the show. Listening to some of Revis's Q&A with the media after the spring workouts, it seemed whenever he was asked about taking a leadership role on the team, Revis continuously answered by saying something along the lines of, I don't want to get in anyone's way. My question to you is, do you think eventually Revis will take a leadership role amongst the DBs, similar to Tlaib? Once again, love the show and keep up the great work.
That's interesting because I do think he's been deferring quite a bit. I also found it interesting some of his quotes where he said, I'm a New England Patriot right now. Does he see this as a one-year rental kind of thing, a one-year deal and not getting too entrenched as a leader and all that? I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into quotes, but I still think Devin McCourty is a leader in this secondary, certainly, and everything else trickles down from there. And I don't think he's as demonstrative or overbearing a personality as Tlaib was. Tlaib is clearly a lightning rod. Natural born, people gravitate to him, he has an energy about him.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Moss-like, where just the stature, their skill, the way they do everything makes them a leader. I think Revis is a little more reserved.
Yeah, I think that when you're basically on a one-year deal, you're kind of thinking about yourself.
Right.
You're not thinking about the long-term goals of the team. You're thinking about playing well this year, which is fine with me. There's nothing wrong with that.
And his history is he's thought about himself.
Right.
I mean, getting traded, asking to redo his contract very early in his career. And that's not a bad thing. I think Ty Law thought about himself, and Ty Law was a very good player for this team. I think a lot of guys, by the nature of the game, think about themselves.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, and they said, how do you think the defense is going to be? And I said, certainly on paper, I mentioned Revis. He goes, but Revis is only here for 1 year. Well, that's all we're talking about.
This is
about.
The only year. Why
right.
is that camera moving?
There's no reason to think beyond that right now in terms of, figuring out how good the defense is going to be.
We don't know how long any of these people are here. Aren't we deep enough into, Belichick could retire. Brady could retire. Wilfork is post 10 years.
Right.
Mankins was asked about it in his press conference. How many more training camps you have in you? I don't know. As long as I feel good and I can still do the job. There's a lot of veterans on this team that I wouldn't look too far into the future.
Right. Good morning, says Chris. He's from Alabama.
Roll Tide.
That's what he said in parentheses. Was wondering how Tompkins and Boyce were doing. Also, which of the two do y'all think will make the final receiver spot? I honestly think Tompkins is better. And what's going on with LaFell? Is this another waste of money? Also, do y'all think Brady will spend the last couple seasons of his career in another jersey? I saw something on one of the Patriots apps I have saying they believe he will spend his last couple seasons in another jersey. And which running backs do you think will make the team? Will Ridley start? I think he has huge shoes to fill, considering Blunt is no longer with us. So, first of all, the receivers, Tompkins and Boyce, if one had to make the final roster, who do you think it would be?
That's a tough one, because Boyce has the kick returner, some versatility, and I think he looks a little bigger and, as Paul said, maybe a little more confident and sure of what he's doing out there. Tompkins, I thought, had a good practice today. I thought he finished up camp strong. I thought he struggled early in mini camp and OTAs. Right. I'm not ruling out them all making it.
Is there any way that Tompkins, Boyce, and LaFell all make
it?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, you'd probably be carrying seven receivers, with Slater being the seventh. It's six plus your special teams guy. But if you know if Slater sort of counts as a safety or a linebacker, or, you know, that you may have had previously on the roster, plus... who's to know who's going to be hurt by that? Maybe Dobson's on PUP to start the year. Dobson may not be healthy.
That's true.
Or you can't rule out an injury to one of the other guys. Yeah. So it usually plays itself out, and I'm also not eliminating all sets. If you made me cut somebody, I would cut Tompkins. I might regret it, but I'd cut Tompkins.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to move that over here.
Okay.
And then his final thought about Brady playing his final 2 years in another jersey. Hey, anything can happen. We've talked about it on this show. There's been a lot of pro athletes, superstars in all sports that no one ever thought would play other than the team that they became stars with, and they did.
Plus, if he gets divorced, who knows how that changes things?
Oh, you're still working on that Star magazine?
Star magazine report, which I think... it's not even the most reliable Star magazine. Apparently, there's also a British Star magazine that's even, it's a slum, but I think that's more reliable than, I think this Star magazine's pretty low level, even for that industry.
I don't know.
You don't buy those?
No, I don't buy
Gossip
those.
Rags?
No. I mean, lately, a lot of the things in those Gossip Rags have been true. Like, the National Enquirer was sort of the standard for Gossip Rags, you know, over the years. But now... a lot of the things in those papers are true.
What do you think would happen if I started a question to Belichick? Bill, Star Magazine has reported that Tom Brady's up early scrubbing toilets and having marital problems.
God.
Care to comment?
Let's start it on Wednesday with Tom Brady. See what happens. Yeah, that'd be good.
I wonder if anybody... he was talking today. No. I wonder if anybody asked.
Well, maybe that person that was asking about the text yesterday.
She was a news person doing her job.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have a problem with that, did you?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was surprised there weren't more of them. Yeah. I thought there would be multiple news reporters here, you know, Byron Barnett, Dan Housley, and she was the only one, and she asked it as the press conference was basically ending.
Let's see. Tommy from Berlin. As training camp has started today, the excitement is constantly growing here in Germany, where we have raised the number of members in our Patriots Fans Germany Facebook group up to more than 650 people.
That's pretty
constantly
impressive.
Growing. We can't wait to start the season with a huge party in the German capital. P.S. If you know people who are in Germany when the season is starting, tell them to join our party in Tipperary Irish Pub in Berlin.
An Irish pub in Berlin?
What? We have Irish pubs in
That's
America.
Pretty funny, though.
What's the difference?
I just thought it would be like
you were
a...
so like.
Oh, shut up!
Walled off from the rest of the world.
You don't find that funny?
No,
that's our.
Why is it not funny to have an Irish pub in America?
Well, first of all, America's a little different. We're a melting pot of 8 billion countries.
Irish is a lot closer to Germany than it is America.
And where do more Irish people live, America or Germany?
I don't know. Percentage-wise, I'm not sure.
There's more Irishmen in America than there are in Germany.
Maybe.
But you don't find it funny that our German fan club, Patriots German fan club, is going to watch the game in an Irish bar. I find that funny. I'm sorry. If you don't, that's up to you. But I find it funny.
It's not
offensive. I'm not prejudiced against anybody.
Yeah.
I just thought, especially Germany, isn't that where beer is from?
Maybe
like Oktoberfest and all that crap? And they're having it in an Irish bar. I find it funny,
oh
and I think
God.
That's okay.
So no other country except America can have, you know,
did I say
bars.
That? Did I say that?
You find it funny.
I find it funny.
Right, why?
If the Irish fan club were meeting in an Irish bar in Germany, I wouldn't find that funny.
Yeah, because you have the outlook.
It'd be just as funny if they were having it in a Jets bar. That's my point.
You have the outlook of an 80-year-old man in his basement.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Very limited.
The fact that you don't find that interesting is ridiculous.
What the hell are you guys up
to now? Can guarantee a guy's going to go to Redskins practice because you know how the lottery's going to play out, but it's somehow offensive that I think it's interesting that there's a fan club in Germany having their meeting in an Irish bar.
I think Duff protests too much.
I think the food is here. Let's take a break.
But one thing I do want to mention before we take a break, we are launching a brand new fan club website. So it's going to be really cool. We've always allowed you to register your fans, but now you can post, you know, you yourself as a fan club member can post your news, post photos, communicate with people. Plus, there's a whole section on Patriots bars. So if you're a bar owner, you can register your own bar.
Any kind of bar. Irish, German.
Right. And,
Russian.
You know, as long as you show Patriots games, and if you don't, you're lying, the community will vet you and make fun of you, but it's going to be really cool, and we should have that out probably next week or the week after.
Now, is any of this multilingual?
No.
No. It's all in English?
Right.
Oh, okay. Right. So the German fan club can't get any material in German?
No, the guy that wrote the email can be the translator.
Well, I thought you could, like, can you do Google Translator or something now?
You can. I'm sure there's a lot of translation programs out there.
But we don't use those.
No.
Okay.
All right, food's here, so that means we need to take a break. Andy's been starving. Paul's already eating. He's, you know, doesn't even say hello, just walks in and starts eating.
Diet going?
All right, lots more emails, lots more calls. The first day of training camp, we'll be right back.
Why don't you go back home to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ices? Ooh-yah!
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Raise your Budweiser and repeat after me. Here's to the show, Hardball, America's game. Here's to spring training and the fall classic. Here's to infield singles, doubleheaders, and triple crowns. Here's to walk-offs, pennant chases, and curtain calls. Here's to the beer that has always been there. Here's to Budweiser. Here's to baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Right now at Papagino's, get two large pizzas with up to three toppings for just $10.99 each. Their new online ordering makes it fast and easy. Order for delivery now at papagino's.com.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company.
One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Heard of Growing Up Gronk, but now comes the tell-all book of the Perillo family.
We were going to go drink. I might not have any use the rest of the day.
From the storied authors of Northeastern Football, An Extinct Dynasty, and The Best Places to Drink Diet Pepsi in Everett, comes Growing Up Perillo.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out.
Okay, and he just swore.
Be there through Northeastern Husky glory.
It was a very big night in Northeastern sports. I won't go into the details because I won't bore you. 1982, my father was at the Garden for the hockey championships that Northeastern won, and I'm home watching him play in the first round of the NCAA basketball, which they won. And my brother got out.
Paul, you cover the basketball. We'll take the hockey.
No, my brother went out and got arrested that night. So my mother had to do all of the stuff. She had to go down and get him, and they had to get the car from a tow lot. My mother was unbelievably incensed. So I know I got about 30 seconds to celebrate with my father when he comes home before all hell's going to break loose. So I come running out of my
little
room.
Little angel, right?
And I'm jumping up and down, high-fiving right. my father, and I go, all right, got to go. And I ran back in the room.
Rich.
And all you heard was, it was like Joe Pesci, and just once I wanted to be big. Ow, bing, boom.
You've disgraced the Perillo family, not to mention the whole Husky community.
Treasured father-son time.
My brother was going back and forth with my father, and it was one of those, you know, open your mouth one more time, and I'm going to let you have it. My brother was actually in the shower, and he didn't think my father could see him, and he just opened his mouth. My father laid him out through the shower curtain. One shot, right in the jaw, went down. As my brother tells the story, I'm lying nude in the jaw. Classic.
And other fond memories of the Perillo boys.
You know, my grandmother used to live with us when we, you know, when right. she was still alive. She used to, all of a sudden, she'd have these attacks of conscience. She'd be like the old Italian grandmother, you know, had to be all worried. And my brother was in trouble for something. My father was all over him, and he hit him. And she got all nervous, and she calls up Aunt Carmela. You know Aunt Carmela from sure. Famous Stories. They're sisters. So she calls up, she goes, oh, Allie's beating the living out of him, but I'll tell you, he deserved it, though.
Growing Up Perillo, flying off bookshelves everywhere. Order yours now by calling 855-PATS-500 or placing your order via email to webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is how you email us. Paul and Eric are back from talking with the players after practice. What do you guys got?
And the coaches. All the assistant coaches were made available to us today as well. Huge crowd around Brady today.
Oh, yeah?
No surprise there. Will Fork also spoke today. First time we've gotten a chance to see him. I think he said, so far so good with regard to his Achilles. That was the quote that I tweeted out right afterwards. He said, there might be some times when I need to do a little bit more or less as far as I think rehabbing or, you know, maybe putting the taking the foot off the pedal when it comes to practicing. But so far, no problems.
Yep.
He was out there, practiced all.
Would you agree? I think he looks like a little trimmer.
I thought a little bit, yeah.
I mean, he's a big guy.
He's a big guy in general, but he looked like his face and everything looked a little bit,
yeah,
a little bit slimmer.
I think so.
Mayo, first time we got to really chat with him any great length. He also said he was it was tough to watch the games last year, but he's happy to be back. He didn't really talk for long. He was like literally not even 5 minutes, and then he walked away. So, but that's typical from him anyway.
Mayo's one of the underestimated non-talkers. I mean, he gets out there and he'll be available.
Oh, yeah. But he doesn't say anything.
He doesn't say anything,
no.
And he cuts it short.
He's much better if you talk
but
to him.
But he does it with a smile,
but he's
so
like,
no one
unless
cares.
He's in this studio.
Oh, well,
right.
He's great.
Yeah.
Right. I was going to say, he's a lot like Kevin Falk in that way, where Falk in a crowd was not a great quote. But you get Falk one-on-one or
chat.
In a couple
yep.
of, in the chat, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And Mayo's a lot like that, too. And yeah. also, when he comes in this studio, for some reason, he opens up.
Yep.
Talked to Googe a little
Googe.
Bit.
Was it Googe
the new
stuff?
Offensive line coach?
The new offensive line coach.
What
he was
have?
Actually
Nothing.
Pretty good. He was actually,
well, he's really good.
He is a good
His Patriots Today sit down. I still say is one of the best interviews we've ever had on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Then he followed that up with a meeting in minicamp that I thought was very good. He's good.
He actually, you know, he gave some good insight into how you evaluate an offensive lineman at this stage. There, you know, there's no pads. They're not rushing. How do you determine whether or not a guy is getting it or not? And he had, you know, a lot of pretty decent. You know, technical, esoteric stuff about, you know, knee bend and weight displacement and, you know, those kind of things. But, I mean, it's insight that you normally don't have. And he was willing to, you know, yep. divulge it.
You are yep. such a traitor.
What are you talking about?
You've already turned your back on Scar.
See,
praising
why
how great the new O-line coach is.
You can like both guys.
Yeah, you
no,
can.
You can't. This is a black and white world.
Okay.
You're either Bledsoe or Brady. You're either Scar or Googe.
Okay.
What happened in the first 40 minutes?
So you don't like Googe?
Can't.
You hate him?
Can't.
Well, I love Scar.
I'm
always
a Scar
will.
Guy.
Right.
I'm a Scar guy.
Right.
He can't be replaced.
Okay.
I
nope.
love Bledsoe and Brady.
Sure.
No, you don't.
I think it's
possible.
I
you
like
don't
Bledsoe
love Brady.
More.
You've been ripping Brady and trying to run him out of time for 5 years.
That's patently false, as usual with you.
Well, just in January.
You should come
yeah,
here. You can do this
January.
Damn radio show.
Right. Right.
Paul.
What?
Who'd you talk to?
Excuse me. Josh McDaniels, talked to him for a little bit, talking about Gronk at first and, you know, having him out there didn't really, you know, he's a lot like Bill with, you know, it's good to have all the guys out there. And then I, you know, he was talking about you can never assume, you know, like Bill always says, you know, your team from 1 year to the next, you can't assume your players are going to get better or worse or whatever. You have to establish a level every year. And I said, you know, in light of that, you know, We're all sort of assuming a second year is an important year for a young receiver like Aaron Dobson. Disappointing. And he sort of, rather than talk about Dobson, he focused on the guys that were out there like Tompkins and Boyce and the work that they're getting. And, you know, sort of surmised, no, I would never be disappointed, but kind of got the vibe that, yeah, he was a little frustrated. He didn't say it, but that's just kind of the Fred Kirsch kind of reading between the lines I got.
Yeah.
And then he talked at length about Brady and his preparation and his attention to detail and his passion that remains so strong even 15 years. And there was a lot of questions about Brady, so he had a lot of opportunities to sort of lay it on thick about Brady.
Yeah,
sounds like it was a rewind of the one I listened to the first time.
It was similar, you know, because I was a little familiar with that one. In terms of the players, I didn't really get to bounce around to much of that. I was talking, I did talk to Googe a little bit before, but it was more of a, I just sort of said hello and introduced myself to him. And didn't really get a whole lot on the other players, the other captains that spoke today.
Yeah, Brady was, like I
Brady
said,
Brady was impossible to get near.
Yeah, I couldn't really hear very well because we were so far back. There were so many cameras there today. First day of camp, plus he was talking. So it was more of a circus around him than usual. And he wasn't talking loudly enough, so it was really, really difficult. Only question I really heard that he answered was about, at this point, being happy with how everything's been installed already and how people are doing it. You know, he's saying, you know, it's only one day, and it's hard to really.
Right. He did sort of, I was standing with Tom Curran and Ron Borges, and we were sort of near the tunnel.
That's so appropriate.
Why?
Just the edgy, cranky.
So anyway, he comes by. Brady comes by, and he sort of was making fun of us a little bit, you know, as the old guard.
See, Brady noticed it, too.
He farted?
No, the old guard.
But they didn't say anything about cranky or edgy.
Well, that's kind of
the old coup.
Because I think out of the three of us, Borges is the only one with an edge out of those three.
Oh, no, Curran has an
Curran,
edge.
Curran has no edge.
Oh, wait, what do you
it's
mean?
It's not a negative edge, but he's got an edge.
And well, he has a negative edge in person.
In life, yes. Yeah. Not in
headbutt you at any point in any conversation.
But, well, I don't know. I look at those two as very different, Borges and Curran.
Yeah,
well, I think Borges is very edgy.
Their take is diametrically opposed, that's for sure.
I think their style. What do they call it? Acerbic? Is that the word?
Acerbic.
And I'm a puppet that works for the team, so I don't really put myself in that category.
Wow. Speaking of Brady, though, I have a question for you. I was at a conference tonight.
Why do you have that smirk on?
I was at a conference.
Because this is going to be something, there's something that we shouldn't probably talk about.
This happened on Monday. He's had it in store.
I was at a conference in Miami, and while I was away, you guys were putting the paper out. And, you know, Paul and I had talked, and Paul said, you know, do you need to read every page? And I said, yeah, not really. I said, if you guys feel comfortable that you caught everything, then, you know, I'm good with it. Although I did, though, get a two-page spread, only one.
The lists.
And at the end, the last line of this two-page, the only two pages you guys decided to send me had Brady's decline, parentheses, in the playoffs. And I was wondering if that was a setup to see what I would say. No?
No.
Okay.
Did you leave it in?
I didn't even mean for that to be sent to you to read.
Oh.
It was sort of a miscommunication. We were talking about it. I said to Andy, I said, is there anything in this issue that you think might be a little controversial that we should have Fred just to make sure? And the only thing we came up with was maybe the lists. And we hadn't seen them written out yet because Eric compiled them. We all, you know, came up with all the categories and all that stuff, but Eric is the one that wrote them up. So we hadn't read them yet. And then after I read them and after Andy read them, I didn't really think there was anything in there that was toxic.
No.
Or anything that was going to get us in any trouble. So I just said the lists are ready. And Michelle assumed that because we had talked earlier,
right,
she just sent them. She goes, oh, I got the PDF from Fred back on the list. All he had some spacing issues or something like that.
Right.
But I didn't even mean for her to send them.
I thought it was, let's throw this at the end, see what he says. Because that's something I would do.
See if he actually read the whole two
right,
pages.
Right.
We don't play games with the paper, Fred.
Not anymore.
You've told us
not to do that anymore.
Don't do that anymore.
Right, because we could forget, you know.
Or you just somehow don't read things or skip right over them.
I read it all.
Gay escort.
Paven in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Paven?
Thanks for all the work you do in the off season. It's always great to listen. Have a few questions regarding training camp. I'll be at Gillette this Sunday. I'll be driving from New Jersey. Will any of you be at the training camp that day?
What day?
We'll be there.
Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday.
We'll all be here.
Also, I see in Patriots.com that the camp starts at 9:15. When will it end? If I come there at 10 or 10:30, will I miss anything? Is there a specific group of people that will be signing autographs that day? Is there any chance TB12 or Belichick signs that day?
There's a chance TB12 yep. signs that day because okay. he didn't sign today. And there is a specific group or groups each day that are assigned to do it. So the quarterbacks could be on Sunday. We don't know. We won't know until Sunday.
Yeah, and there's a chance that Bill Belichick will sign.
Yep. There's a chance, yeah.
There's always a chance.
And you can pretty much guarantee 2 hours for yeah. most practices, unless it's a walkthrough type when the, yeah. that gets
If you get there down, at 10:30, you're going to only see the last 45
But you'll
minutes.
See the most exciting 45.
Yeah, you'll yeah. see the team right. portion pretty
right.
much.
Right.
Early on, you'll see stretching and group
drills. And if you're going for autographs, you won't have a shot because you right. won't get near the ropes.
Well, there's also – they still do autographs out.
Do they? I thought they did away with that.
Oh. I don't know. It's a good question.
I thought they brought that up maybe to the fan zone, oh, and okay. it's not at the plaza
I
anymore.
I think you're right, Freddie.
But yeah. there's still two places.
Yeah.
So you can pick or choose.
But that, again, they line up
right.
before practice. So right. the later you get, the less chance you'll get autographs.
Right.
So that's kind of a rule.
But it sounds like he must be driving from New Jersey
yeah.
that morning of.
Right.
So how early he wants to
it's
get
about up. A four-hour drive, depending on where you are in Jersey. Yeah, so you probably want to leave at 5 in the morning.
Fred now giving just advice. Grab a coffee on the road by 5.
Or, you know, grab a hotel Saturday night, yeah. Renaissance, and be here first thing.
Says the rich guy. Now you got him spending $400 to go to a
frickin'
practice.
I was asked by one of our vendors who are doing some work, and they wanted room for Saturday night. It is sold out.
What's going on Saturday night?
It's just people coming for practice.
Everybody, really?
Yeah, they reserve hotel rooms. They make it a little mini vacation.
See?
How many hotel rooms? How many rooms in that hotel?
I think it's only about 160.
Okay. Not enough for our listener to book another one.
Should add on.
They'll probably be. Oh, they have a. They're zoned to add more rooms at some. You know, whenever they want.
Up or out?
What do you mean up or out?
I don't know. I don't think up.
I don't know how it works, but.
Yeah. He goes. What do you mean up or out? I don't know.
I think the footprint. There's not much room to go out.
No.
Why are you shaking your head?
First day of training camp.
We should rewind just a little bit. Players were available. Logan Mankins, Rob Ninkovich, Devin McCourty after Bill Belichick yesterday. And I thought there were a few interesting comments. McCourty related was contract, obviously.
Yep.
Nah, just another season, blah, blah, blah.
Just play football.
Poo-pooed that.
Third down defense from Ninkovich was big.
Third down defense. Ninkovich also, I thought, had a couple. He had the one where he said,
we're going to be better
on defense. Why? Because we're getting our guys back.
Yep.
And where he said, what was the exact wording? I play for one of the best teams in the NFL or the best organizations in the NFL or something like that.
Expectations are high every year because we're one of the best teams in the NFL.
Which
surprisingly
isn't really saying in anything, but
in this this environment, it is.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. I thought Mankin's best quote was, you hear a lot of guys that want to put the pads on, usually quarterbacks and skill players who don't hit. For linemen who hit every play, it's different or something.
One of our first callers today talked about the Redskins lottery. JB in Richmond wants to clear things up. He says the Maryland East Coast caller is incorrect about the lottery info. The lottery is for Saturday Fan Appreciation Day on the 2nd of August and the three Patriot practices only. The results of the lottery were released on Saturday the 26th via email. They say the reason for the lottery is space-related with an increased request of passes to attend.
Well, Fred says they are lying and they're simply trying to collect your information for their database.
I still think they're doing that.
And he also guaranteed that Brad from Eastern Shore will win the lottery and be able to go to practice. How he guarantees that, I don't know.
Olivier's in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
The boys are all back.
I know. Welcome back. I have to say that that's a big difference between today's shows and Tuesday's shows.
Well, I have to say screw you.
Good, by the way, it was all good.
Oh, okay. Strike that from the record.
Did you say something? I didn't hear it.
No. Oh. Good. Go. Ready.
Okay, good. I had a little game for you guys, or at least a question. Assuming that the training camp is over for all teams, and assuming that all teams are going to be making some cuts, and assuming that some cuts will be due to talents, but other cuts may be due to, you know, roster bubbles and maybe some type of cap numbers, is there like any players that you think that we could pick up from different teams that would be a perfect addition to our football team?
Larry Fitzgerald.
J.J. Watt.
Come on, can we be serious for a minute here? Rob Hausler. Everybody seems to say he's the fourth tight end in Arizona and he might get cut. I think he's a guy that if you're still struggling depth-wise or health-wise. Now, Byam was out there, so he's apparently ready to go.
Byam or sell him?
However, probably sell him, but whatever. Hausler.
Moving the needle?
No.
No, not
just
yet.
Just kidding. Sorry.
No, Byam doesn't move the needle, nor does Hausler. He's just kind of a productive, mildly productive guy.
So, Olivia, are you looking for, like, surprise cuts that would help out? Or
I'm looking for value.
Yeah.
You know, we would pick someone up that would
it's a four-letter
make
word.
A big difference.
It's a four-letter word. I want talent.
Nothing comes to mind for me.
Well, talented value, Eric. That's what I meant.
Good luck.
Oh, Kevin just walked in with apple cobbler and vanilla ice cream. And it's warm on the bottom and cold on top.
Just the way I like them.
I was waiting for
I knew
for
somebody
someone.
Was going to say, I was eating my banana.
Right. Okay.
All right, guys.
The show just
All right, ended. Olivier, thanks for calling.
Thanks, bye.
All right. Let's see. Pat is writing in from Agawam. First off, to all the Andy detractors, screw you bitches. Freddie did a great job in your chair on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Now on
thank
to football.
You, Pat.
We had some people complaining about Andy.
Well, my Twitter was blowing up. But.
I had theorized that
one of them was the high guy.
Paul, you forgot that. Twitter was blowing up.
I had theorized that Chandler Jones could get votes for DPOY.
Defensive Player
of
the
year.
Wow, Fred.
What is wrong with you? You don't know what that means. That is like one of the more...
he's even laughing. Making fun of himself.
Right. The only thing that would have been better if you had said... Deploy.
I think you meant deploy. How are they going to deploy Chandler Jones?
DPOY to Andy as a bold claim for the season. The more I think of it, the more I believe it's not so far-fetched. If he progresses more this year, you could be looking at a 15 to 20 sack guy. Of course, this is all contingent on the talent, which is abundant this year, staying relatively healthy this year. Fred, don't ever be afraid to take a few days off because you have a guy who does a commendable job in your spot. Not like that little, little bitch Eric and his boring ass stories. Just kidding, Eric. You do a strong job, too. Peace out, homies.
He goes, he says that little bitch, boring. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
Didn't seem like you were kidding.
Chris and Hamilton. Well, I wasn't going to read it until I saw the just kidding part. Chris and Hamilton, I think you might need the rest of the crew. Otherwise, you just seem abrasive without direction. Captain Interruptus's weakness, no one to interrupt.
That's a good point.
Welcome back, Fred. Oh, that was the first part was to Andy. And then welcome back, Fred. Please leave Kevin in charge next time. Andy needs to be directed like a nuclear missile. All sorts of indiscriminate judgment, but you flame yourself if it's not pointed in the right direction. Right. So Andy was just sort of shrapnel everywhere.
I think I was phenomenal.
You ate that thing already?
It was really good.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
It was really good.
Talk
thank you.
I want to take a bite.
Kevin, it was very good. Thank you for going to get. Well, did you get some yourself?
In the first 40 minutes, did you? I assume you went over, sort of the nuts and bolts. Anything stand
attendance
out?
Or anything?
Anything stand
that, right?
out to you today?
No.
Obviously, they don't have any pads on, so,
I thought that.
Declarations.
It was great to see Gronk out there, that he's not on PUP and all that. He still looks to me like he's got a little bit of a hitch in that, the right knee. He looks like he's still not completely where he wants to be. He's not as bad as who was the tight end last year?
Jake Ballard.
Jake Ballard. He was not nearly that bad,
no.
But I did detect a little bit of not perfect.
I didn't necessarily see that. I think Gronk has a lumbering, weird style that sometimes it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
If anything jumped out at me from Gronk, it's that he's still wearing the massive thing on his arm and that. Maybe the arm is still as much a concern or a
he looks like JJ
consideration.
Yeah. And now he's got the thing on the leg.
Our buddy Matt Chatham sort of...
Matt Chatham, a.k.a. Mr. Magoo.
He brought up... oh, Magoo. he brought up the possibility that maybe it's one of those things he just feels comfortable with now.
I can't imagine.
He likes playing with it.
Look
and
at
he sort of feels...
Does it look comfortable?
The elbow thing?
Feels.
The arm thing?
Without it, he feels a little bit vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, the bigger question is, without it, is he truly vulnerable? That's the big question.
Well, that's what Andy is bringing up. Is there still an issue with the arm? Matt Chatham was sort of wondering, I wonder if it's maybe less about a physical issue as a mental issue. He just feels better with it on, which is possible.
We posed that idea of the arm in general being a mental hurdle more than physical way back when.
Right.
Just because of the re-injury and then being uncertain and all that.
He talked about Ted Johnson used to have... after he did the biceps, he used to wear something and he sort of felt naked without it. He needed it on, even though it was no longer a physical issue. He felt better with whatever the protection was that he wore. He felt better with it on.
I remember after I finally got through my whole braces thing and night brace and retainer, after the dentist said, you don't have to wear the retainer anymore, I did for a little while. It was like a night thing that I would just put in and it was kind of...
Definitely. You had an oral fixation?
I don't know.
I couldn't wait to get rid of my braces. Oh, God. Yeah. I was so psyched when everything was gone.
Dan in Virginia, back to football. Now a bit of info for Fred and a question in a game. Fred, have you seen the QB? It's a small treadmill you can use under any desk. By the way, when Andy was talking about Eric going postal, I had this mental image of Fred stuck in a treadmill desk trying to run away by speeding up the treadmill.
This is now the second time I've had people write in and say that you're talking about me going, what are you talking about?
I don't really remember.
Don't use that excuse.
I don't remember how it came about. I said there's a chance you could go postal. I'd be the first you'd shoot, and that I may or may not have mapped out my exit routes.
You'd be the only one I'd shoot.
Ah, there you go.
See,
so everyone is safe.
Validated. It was a valid.
So that's not really going postal. Though.
No, it's not.
No, that's more FedEx.
It's not indiscriminate. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely, positively
straight
guaranteed.
Straight.
If Dobson doesn't make the start of the season, which receiver benefits most? Would it be Boyce, Tompkins, or LaFell? Who benefits most from Dobson being out?
Tompkins. Yeah.
I think so. I agree.
I think that's the closer jobs.
And I think a good sign from him
closer roles
today was there was a special teams drill going on, and so Brady and a few of the receivers went down into the end zone near us to work on just
red zone pattern floating passes and
fades in the end zone. And it was, I think, Amendola, Edelman, Gronk, actually, and Tompkins.
Right.
Just those four guys. And we've seen that in the past where Brady has gone during a break, not a break, but when they do special teams, he's gone over and worked with his go-to guys.
Right.
It used to be Welker and Gronk and, I think, Hernandez for a while.
Yeah.
But to see Tompkins, I mean, maybe because...
No, I pointed it out, too. I agree.
Maybe because...
For various reasons, Hernandez isn't involved in that anymore.
Did you read that part? He had a line in his...
He didn't read the positions.
Oh, where he said, you know, last year Brady, you know, the transition because his top targets were
the missing, you know, Rob Gronkowski, and I put injuries.
Yeah, he
Aaron
said like
Hernandez,
injuries, free agency, or various reasons or something.
But I think I wonder though if Dobson were healthy, whether Dobson would have been in that crew, and they just said, well, we need a fourth, so let's throw Tompkins in there.
That's a good question.
But the fact that he's the guy that gets it and not Boyce or any of the other guys, I think is and, you know, a good sign for him at this point.
Yep.
And there was no LaFell
in
that group, so that's another.
Yep.
Well, LaFell just, you know, getting back into the mix of things after missing the bulk of the spring. So we'll see. I still think today was status quo day, kind of. You kind of picked up where you left off.
Launching pad.
You don't assume you're staying where you left off or whatever kind of thing.
Just a launching pad.
I want one observation that maybe you guys saw this in minicamp when I was away, but Ryan Mallett wearing a brace on his left knee.
Oh, yeah, he was hurt.
Was he hurt in minicamp?
He missed minicamp.
Oh, remember all that?
I was away for two weeks of it.
He was,
we thought maybe
they're putting him aside because they're going to trade him and all that.
Oh, so
remember?
When I was gone, that's...
Yeah, all the spring, he missed most of the, I mean, I would say he missed as many of the spring practices that we had access to as he made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that wasn't just
we were there 10 times. He missed at least five of them. Wouldn't you say, Andy?
We just didn't know if
what
he
was
hurt or when it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was, you know, just something worth noting.
I would have every freaking player wear knee braces in practice, even if you're
not
hurt.
I'm actually thinking now, when you were talking about Will Fork and Mayo, they all talked in the spring, and they all said basically the same stuff. Like when you were saying, like, the first time we had gotten in Mayo was like, you know,
yeah,
all that stuff. That's why I was sort of thinking to myself, well, that's kind of, but now it makes sense, because that's when you were in Europe.
Budapest.
Gallivanting.
Do you know anybody in Germany who might want to join the club and meet them at the Irish bar for the opener?
Do I know anybody in Germany?
I don't know. The guy from Germany was saying if we knew anybody, to pass him along, tell him to join the club.
And how, and
they have over 650
what are they doing?
I don't know anybody in Germany.
And
I don't,
this elicited a fight how between you two?
Because I thought
he was
interesting.
Shocked that there was an Irish
not
bar
shocked,
in Germany.
Not shocked. I found it interesting that the German Patriots fan club in Berlin is meeting at an Irish bar for the opener. Like, it just
now, how far is that?
What? Germany from Ireland?
Yeah.
You could walk.
Well, no, you couldn't.
No, I know. I'm not kidding.
But, it be like going from like Boston to New York?
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer, but not that much.
Yeah. I said, is America the only place that can have ethnic bars?
No, but Germany is the birthplace of beer. It's Oktoberfest. It's all that. And then
there are Patriots clubs in America that have their bars in Irish pubs. So how crazy is that?
He doesn't even know what he said.
He doesn't even know why we're laughing at him.
Patriots clubs in America.
Well, the Irish
bars
do have bars
in their clubs.
To be fair,
in Irish bars.
They do have bars.
Yes,
in
I know. Yeah. And you don't think America is a little different than the traditional, long-standing European countries?
I don't even want to get into it.
Yeah, because you're so wrong.
In your basement.
You're so wrong.
You're so wrong.
You're the wrongest.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's
all right,
where we're going to be next week, right?
Rich, and hopefully she'll be there, too.
It's up to now.
Dan in Virginia also says, here's a game. Someone gives you $1,000, it's just hypothetical, to make future bets in Vegas. How would you split the grand over the following four options? In other words, how much would you bet on each option?
Yep.
Gronkowski plays the whole season is one. Brady throws over 35 touchdowns is two. The Pats have a top five defense, and the Patriots win the Super Bowl. I'd go 25% on all of them.
He just throws it.
He just throws it out there, and that's it.
25% on all.
So I think they're all going to happen.
So,
oh, I thought he wanted us to sort of rank those things in the order that we thought they. I think the top five defense would be my one.
Well, then he's saying you would put 400 on that.
Yeah, right.
And weight your money towards what you think is most likely to happen.
Yeah, but he thinks they're all equal.
No, 250.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying the emailer wants you to do what yours, basically handicap it and put your most money, not just flippantly say all four are the same.
Yeah, well, I was trying to play along for the email.
Exactly.
Oh, okay, I thought you were yelling at me. I'm sorry.
I think I might go Brady.
Yeah,
I would say Brady is two.
Brady would be my touchdowns. Brady would be my one.
Because everybody's back on offense. Even if they're not good, they're back at least. They're not their first year, and his hand's not going to be hurt.
Brady would be my one.
How many times you throw more than 35 touchdowns? Twice?
I don't know.
I don't like the odds of that.
See,
I do.
The Super Bowl and the defense are really, to me, linked. They're kind of the, like if they're a top five defense, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I just have a hard time
thinking
that they're
going to
be a top five defense.
Right now. Now,
they'll be better.
A lot's going to happen in 4 months.
What's the last one? Gronk or Super Bowl?
Gronk.
Gronk would be the last one. Super Bowl would be third.
Wow. Wow. My prediction was bold then. We did bold predictions on Tuesday, and I went with 19 games for Gronk that's played.
19 games.
Melvin's in Tennessee, and he's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
I'm going to go with 20.
Hey, what's going on out here?
How you doing?
Pretty good. Speaking of the tight end issue, I was trying to see really what you all thought about new guy coming in. I've been out of the loop for a little while. I've been kind of busy. So, like, what's his position going to be? I don't know if this is just a guy for camp. Or I don't know if this is a serious option. Just because, like, ever since, I guess, O.J. Simpson of the Patriots kind of got in trouble, we really haven't filled that role. And I was just concerned that we're going to head into another year really tight end less. And I'm just concerned about that. So, I don't even want Gronk. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want him to play 16 games, but I don't want him starting off the season just because I just don't think he's going to make 16 games. So, right. I mean, and I don't want him, Brady, getting in there force feeding him the ball as well. So
it didn't work out last year when he missed the first six games and still tore his ACL in December.
Yeah, I want
Can't
Gronk.
Put him in bubble wrap.
I want Gronk on the field as much as possible.
I thought you wanted him to take the year off.
No. I did, but now the
changed.
I did want him to take the year off, but he's not. That's not an option anymore. So as long as he's out there, I want him out there as much as possible.
He could go on IR.
Well, he could, yes, but I don't want him to. If he can play, if they have him out there and they're saying he can play, then I want him to be playing.
Wow, you've really changed.
No, I haven't, really.
Actually, you have.
Because nothing's changed on his end.
I wanted him to take the year off. I wrote that in the paper. Yes.
Right. So you should be upset right now.
But the fact that they made that decision, he's ready to play, he's out there playing.
But it's the wrong decision.
I would have felt more comfortable if he was completely healthy, and I don't think he is completely healthy
he's
right
been
now.
He's cleared to play.
He has been cleared to play, but that's not
like
the same.
We've had this argument before.
But now that he's
if we let this go one more minute, he's going to say it's a travesty that he's on the field.
I'm going to say that?
Yeah.
Well, it's stupid. It's stupid that he's out there, you think.
Let me say one more thing, Dollar.
All right, I'm sorry. Go
Wait,
ahead.
We didn't answer your question. Did you ask where is Nate Byam going to play?
Yeah, like what?
He's a blocking tight end with 11 catches in four seasons.
Yeah, 11 career catches.
Wow.
Okay.
Also coming off a torn ACL, by the way.
But he's out there. Eric thinks he should take the year off.
Why are we obsessing about that all of a sudden?
Because Gronk's
wrote a
back.
Whole commentary
and now
on
you,
it.
You just said I want him to play as much as possible after you said I want him to sit out the whole year.
Yes, I wanted him to sit out the whole year.
Now you got exasperation.
But that's not an option anymore. So.
It is. He can go on IR anytime. He hasn't done anything. He really did nothing today. He did not practice with the team doing drills. He did a couple drills. He could go on IR tomorrow.
All right, I'm assuming that because he's out there now, they want him out there all season.
Right.
So if that's the case, as Melvin was saying, he doesn't want him out there in the beginning. If he's out there, he's still one of the best players in the league. He might not be completely healthy, but he's still the best player in the league at that position. So,
but you think that's bad? You wanted him to sit out the whole
year. I wanted him to sit out the whole year, but that's not a reasonable, viable option anymore.
Well, it never was.
Right.
Maybe not.
let me
but the fact that he's still one of the best players in the league, even not at I don't think he's 100% completely. If he's out there, play him.
I agree. I think we learned firsthand that that whole thing where I'll sit him out the first month so he'll be healthy in January.
Right.
You learned firsthand last year it doesn't work that way. Right. He skipped the first 6 weeks and tore his ACL in December.
And he also hurt his ankle before the Super Bowl in January.
There's no guarantee. Go ahead, Melvin. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm not saying that you sit him out and then, that he's not going to be able to he's not going to get hurt again. What I'm saying is that if he has some reliable help and he's not getting targeted so much, then I think he might be able to last longer. I think that's the only thing that I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but the lasting longer, it's not like it's not.
I know.
Like he's,
I hear what you're saying, Melvin. But I think you just can't.
It's not
do
like
that.
He has.
You can't regulate him. You can't.
He doesn't have a degenerative injury.
If he's
right. It's not something that wear and tear is.
A guy
dove.
He hit his knee. He tore his ACL.
I mean,
right.
The reason why he is
guy fell on his ankle and broke
is because on any given play he wins that matchup. He owns the matchup pretty much against anyone in the NFL. So how can you not target him?
Well,
you
it know? Would be better if they had Randy Moss and Aaron Hernandez also on the field. Better. Your offense
sure.
would be better.
Right.
You
sure.
wouldn't be counting on him as much. Okay, maybe you don't have to, but that's not realistic. It's not what it is. He is your best offensive player, bar none.
Right.
You need to use him.
Right.
And I do get, the idea of the less reps, the less games, the less chance of getting injured. But A, because of what Andy just said, when they don't have those other guys around, they can't afford it. Can you legitimately go down the schedule and say, they're for sure will beat Miami at Miami without Gronk? Or they'll for sure beat Minnesota without Gronk? I wouldn't.
Instead of that approach as a Patriots fan, you should take the approach, the more reps, the more games he plays, the more chance you're going to win. That's how you should be thinking about it.
And then when he's hurt late in the year, at least we'll be the one seed, we'll be at home.
And right. I think you could make an argument if you could do this in like some sort of hypothetical that, if I sit him out X amount of games, I'm guaranteeing that I'm going to get X amount of games out of him. You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can sit him out the first 15 weeks of the season, bring him back for 16 just to get him some work for the playoffs, and you could get hurt in week 16.
Right.
Which is kind of what they did a couple of years ago when he first broke the arm.
Right.
They sat him out. They brought him back in the playoffs, not even one quarter, and he was hurt.
Well, they brought him back the week before that.
Right.
And
true.
He wasn't healthy.
True.
Well, he hid the arm that week behind him,
right.
So it couldn't break.
He was running around with clearly not healthy.
Let's go also to Tennessee. Trey. Hey, Trey.
Bien.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's up? Man, I want to touch on a couple of topics, maybe three. But a lot of people know they're complaining about how Belichick, he drafts now. But if you're real Patriots fan, you know and you understand that Bill is going to be Bill. So, you know, he's going to draft his way. I mean, he's going to, his scheme is his scheme. So, you have people talking about, they hate the general manager, Belichick. I mean, now, it wasn't a problem. We were winning Super Bowl, right or wrong.
Right.
True, right. Right.
So now, I mean, when you're drafting, it's a hit and miss thing. You never know how guys are going to turn out. I mean, look at our quarterback. Nobody knew what Brady was going to become, right?
Right.
We didn't know he was going to become, TB12. And then, we want to complain about, how Brady misses the deep ball. I mean, now, we just have to enjoy the ride. Because it's not going to be long. We're not going to have BB or TB. And then what? I mean, it's coming. It is coming.
Then we'll be SOL.
Those days will come. And you're right. You have to enjoy it. And, people don't understand how hard it is to do what the Patriots have been doing over the last 15 years.
Yeah. And so, like I said, I'm not going to complain because I know, that it's coming. And there's going to be some seasons, man, where, we're going to be still in the house and we're not going to want to come out. We're going to be embarrassed. So, I mean, which I hopefully they don't wrong. I mean, but like I said, man, let's just enjoy the ride. And the tight end topic, we spend too much. We're going to lose a lot of hair, worrying about, a tight end and everything. I mean, I think that, the two tight ends.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah, the two tight end system, man, I think we're kind of past it. I mean, like I said, Hernandez is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, Gronk is Gronk. I mean, you know, Gronk is not going to change the way he plays.
No, he's not. And you're right. They're past that whole two tight end thing. You're right. Yeah. But there's no doubt when Gronk's in the field, this offense is different.
And yeah. it's
more so needing one, not
right,
two.
Right.
You need one.
Right.
And you need to be prepared for life without Gronk at this stage.
Exactly. But see,
that's why Indy wants a tight end.
Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not complaining about Gronk, but I'm talking about the two tight ends.
You're not complaining about anything.
The two tight end system, we just, I mean.
You don't want to sit in your house and be embarrassed.
We got to hope and pray that, you know, Gronk stays healthy and we just have a solid backup. I mean, you know, we're not going to have a hybrid guy unless we get luck.
Right.
Nope. So you guys have a good day, man. And like I said, you know, you guys are great. So, you know, let's just keep it rolling, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Enjoy the ride.
Thanks.
All right, Trey.
Thanks, Trey. Trey from Memphis.
I, for one, did not know that Brady was going to be TB12.
Trey Cash, homie.
I didn't. I have to admit
I thought it might be TB10.
I did, too.
You know, he came out of Michigan with 10. You
I
just
did
kind
too.
Of assume he
That's
take
exactly
the same
what I thought.
The only problem with the two tight end things so far in the – I don't really love any of the options. Oh, we're going to be a spread set with extra receivers.
Yeah, there's
well,
been a lot of
these great receivers.
There's been a lot of talk
field.
About that. You know, like, that they're transitioning to more of a 3 and 4 wide set team. Well,
yeah,
I don't feel great about Amendola and Edelman with Tompkins or Dobson until I see these guys gel and produce
it,
on a consistent basis.
They've been a 3 or 4 wideout team throughout. It's just that two of those guys were guys that were hard to match up with, and they happen to be tight ends. You know, they were always spreading teams out.
Sure.
You know.
Jimmy Graham agrees with you.
Yeah. Chris is in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Chris.
How about – I don't really like all this talk about the offense and all these. I think as long as Gronk is on the field, we're going to be good.
I agree.
But still, the truth here is that I think we must stop letting go of Danny Woodhead.
Wow. I mean, really? Do you really think that he's that big a difference maker? I mean, I love Danny Woodhead, and he was
you
good.
You remember the Super Bowl?
I love Danny Woodhead, but.
Yeah, I remember this.
Oh, I had him as the MVP
points.
Early. Remember a halftime blog entry? MVP. Yeah. They lost.
Brady was just throwing to him. You got me? Because other people just won.
Yeah. And last year, he threw to Edelman instead. I mean, you can throw to guys like that that aren't going to necessarily make a difference. If you don't have Gronkowski, your offense isn't going to be that productive.
I really think this year is going to be a good year for us. One, because I think Gronk is going to be good this year. I think all those injuries, knee injuries, all those injuries, is just they don't happen every year.
Right.
Well,
no,
to him they do.
Yeah, I mean.
Just 3 in a row. What are the chances it goes 4?
We certainly hope that, you know, that bad luck has kind of run out a little bit and that this year will be better, Chris. I love when, you know, the callers or email or callers because – that's a direct exchange. But when they can't back up their point, then they just change it. I think it's going to be a great year.
Because you're a Patriots fan, and that's okay. Danny Woodhead, though, is that based on the news that he got a contract extension? Is that what people are kind of...
Maybe. I didn't
Did you
know
see that? He got a 2-year extension.
Yeah,
he got pretty good money.
He got a little bump, yeah.
I mean, he has carved out
well.
A nice little career.
Look, I thought... I think...
He had a good year
I don't
last
think he went to San Diego and became a different player. I think he was that player here, too.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah, I just don't... I think Shane Vereen is – now, listen, Woodhead was durable. Woodhead played most all the games. He missed a game or two.
Yeah,
here
he had an ankle.
He was limited at times.
Good ankle.
And Vereen missed a whole stretch of games. He missed 8 games. So I get the difference there. But I think when they're both on the field, they – you know, I actually like Vereen better when they're both on the field. But, you know, to Woodhead's credit, you guys are right. He carved out a nice little career for himself. He got a nice bump. He had a good year with San Diego last year.
He's on your list, right?
I just – you know, my needle thing. You know, I don't think, like I said, the caller brought up the Super Bowl, and I think that's a perfect example. Brady completed like 16 passes in a row, and they scored, 17 points. I mean, that's what you're going to score when that's the focal point of your offense. You're not going to score a lot of points. Now, if you have Gronkowski, and you really didn't that day, if you recall, he was a little more than a decoy. Playing that night in Indianapolis, I think it's hard. If you don't have someone to necessarily occupy the defense to make some big plays here and there, I don't see how you're going to do it.
Did anybody see what the quarterbacks were using the hula hoops for today?
No, but I was just noticing
the hand across.
Yeah. That's a
bet
new
you that's
thing.
A Tom House thing.
Brady has this new follow through where his opposite hand, or he's a righty, so his left hand comes across his body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is definitely new. And you know he's always worked on that. He does. What does he do? The towel thing to keep it in or something.
Yeah. To keep it tucked in.
But also they had hula hoops out on the field today, and I saw them putting them away. I didn't get to see what they.
It
were
It might
using.
Have been like you have to keep your feet within.
It was
definitely
yeah. It was, but I thought that was kind of flawed because they look to be the same size hula hoops, and Ryan Mallett is
6'4" as opposed
taller
to 6'2".
Shouldn't it be different based on how tall you are, your leg length and stuff,
I don't
your stride,
know.
And yeah. everything should be in ratio to your overall mechanics.
Right.
I would think.
Yeah.
I found that strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely new, Fred. There's no doubt in my mind that's new.
That's not natural looking either.
No.
Earlier.
And it begs the question. He's like a golfer in year 15 with 20 majors. Why are we relearning the swing?
Why is Butch Harmon changing?
For crying out loud, Tom House, don't screw it up.
I should mention, I mentioned Brady, the 35 touchdown passes. Kevin gave me the note three times, not twice. Hit it in 7.
Yeah,
10,
I'm off that. I'm no longer betting on that now that Tom House is messing with his notes.
It's the end of the season.
Well, you know, I mean, minor tweaks, little things, that looks major to me.
I wouldn't worry about it until the playoffs.
Yeah. Come on.
even Fred laughed at that one.
Balarco writes, and Mike Reese predicted that if there is a surprise veteran cut, it would be Tommy Kelly. Do you guys agree? I know that he had injuries, but isn't ACL injury common now?
Yes.
Plus, didn't he
restructure? Every Patriot has it.
Didn't he restructure his deal as well? He played well.
That's why he's a candidate to go.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
it's more palatable.
They made it more palatable.
Yeah. You know.
But he already took a pay cut, so he's cheaper.
And plus, Mike reset it. So
it's true. You're right. Just Michael Hawley. Is
Captain Interruptus.
Is projecting somebody on Saturday, a veteran defensive lineman, to retire.
Oh, right. I heard that.
And I was like, what? And then I thought about it. And Will Smith and Tommy Kelly would be pretty high on the list of guys I'd pick to retire on this team.
He just
so.
Came out with this out of nowhere. It wasn't like one of those like offensive line things when we
they
used to have an
you know,
offensive
they were joking. They
the
were
time.
Joking that, and he's like, it seems like it happens every year. And Sidney Rice retired. If it's going to be on the Patriots, it's going to be Saturday, and it's going to be a defensive lineman. He said, and if I had to pick anywhere, that's probably where I would pick one of those guys, Smith or Kelly.
Parcells used to call those the crickets, because back in the day, you'd have the luggage with the little metal fasteners and they click, and he said, you know, the guys that would leave overnight, you'd hear the click. He called them the crickets, and then they'd just be gone.
Why wouldn't they be called the clickets?
He called crickets.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, talk to Bill
Parcells.
I didn't
know it had anything to do with the suitcase. I heard that story before, but I didn't
it's
never
the
heard
suitcase.
It.
It's the click of the suitcase.
I just thought
so
that they left.
So it should be the clickets. If they're the clickets, it makes perfect sense.
I just thought they left in the middle of the night and all you heard was
right.
crickets.
That's
what
I thought
the story
it
was.
It was the suitcase.
But well, that's stupid. Then.
I wasn't here for Parcells and Fred was.
Either it should be that story and it's the crickets or your story and it's the clickets.
Take them out of the Hall of Fame. Just because, you know, you didn't get that right. Just take
them
out of the Hall of Fame.
Wait a minute. Was Tony Dungy a Hall of Fame finalist this year?
I thought he was.
Because that's embarrassing. He's
he
not a Hall of Fame
I don't know
coach.
If he's a finalist, but he was definitely on the list.
I think he's a much better coach than people give him credit for, but I don't think he's
not
a
Hall of Fame
coach. I don't think
he's a Hall
of Fame coach
no,
either.
He's not.
That's him. And it has nothing to do with any comments he made about Sam. I don't care about that. He's not a. He doesn't have a Hall of Fame resume.
If he goes
you
in
could
the
argue
of,
that he never maximized his opportunities.
If he goes in the Hall of Fame, it should be his head with Peyton Manning's neck attached to it. That's the only reason he'd be in there.
By the way, I had a good joke I was going to say. I saw somebody during the Hall of Fame ceremony here. They're going to have all the jackets on the busts of the players. But I was going to say, McGinnis just going to wear his own. I think he's a bust.
See now.
He was just giddy. He couldn't wait. Look at him.
Balarco writes in. Also,
Ty Law probably going to put on a show, by the way. People get down here for that.
Second paragraph. On a lighter note, Andy said that Wilson Van Hooser is definitely not going to make the team, but receivers have come and gone in the last few days, and he is still there. Okay.
I still think he's definitely not going to make the team.
Still pretty comfortable with
Andy's
declaration.
Yeah, they did. The funny thing about
no
the
offense
release,
to the Van Hooser family, who evidently has now decided to follow Andy and I on Twitter.
Yes, the Van Hooser family is following.
Because I'll actually say this. I thought he flashed a little bit in the spring. I thought he made some nice plays.
Yeah, a couple nice drops today.
Yeah, I didn't see much practice today. I was a little busy.
He, Greg Orton? Horton?
Greg Orton.
I read
Cowboy
that
Bob.
Patriots re-signed Greg Orton. When do we sign him the first time?
He was one of the futures guys.
Yeah, he was.
I don't remember
right
the
after
name.
The, oh, right yeah. after the season last mm-hmm. year, he was a futures guy, and then he didn't make it to
camp. That came across yesterday.
Now he did. He didn't make it to camp, but now he
oh,
did.
Yeah. They've been these guys, they've been shuffling in and out, the Johnsons and the
I was
guy
talking
from
to
Maine
our buddy and, Jeff Howe from the Herald, and someone had just texted him and asked him how Tyler McDonald was doing. And it's like he was here for a day and a half. I mean, I don't know.
And even yeah. if you hear before,
there were some names on that roster. Yeah. There are some names on that roster still that are just, like I'm doing the attendance, crossing off the numbers. I'm like, Taylor McCullough?
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy that was playing offense and defense
Ixnay.
During the spring.
Oh. We can't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we already.
Well, we already said it, but we can't say it.
Okay.
Again?
Yeah.
Like when you said the P word.
That was one of the guys that was out there in the spring.
Nick, a lot. He was out a lot. Nick,
right. It's almost like he was playing both sides of the ball. He was out there so much.
Nick says,
now you're just being ridiculous. I didn't know that we couldn't say it.
Nick says he's, I've been listening to the show for a few years, and I have a question for Paul, but want all of you to answer as well. Are there any players in the NFL that Paul either likes or thinks are good players?
Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, you started with one you don't even think is that good.
You're an idiot. You just are. Around the league, just the regular guys. I don't pretend to know the depth of the rosters around
Larry
the league
Fitzgerald,
as well as everybody
Calvin
else.
Calvin Johnson.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Rodgers. Special players. Aaron Rodgers, as much as I hate him, is a great player. I think that's...
So he can hate and like at the same time.
Well, that shows my impartiality.
Exactly.
I hate him,
right.
but I
but
think he's
a good
great
player.
Yeah.
Mike writes in from Rhode Island.
That was it.
Glad to hear you're
Mike
all
Wright?
Finally back. Tuesday's episode was brutal. How many times can one guy bring up a girl's cup size in 2 hours?
I brought
show?
It up once.
Anyway, it seems like the
every time one of us is on the show without other people, it's deemed a terrible show.
Right.
You're the
Tuesday.
Only one who gets upset about
right.
it.
Right.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Anyway, it seems like the Buffalo Bills have been getting snake bitten recently. Their players are dropping like flies. Kiko Alonso's out for the year. Sammy Watkins was injured. Brandon Spikes was injured. Marcel Darius is on the PUP. What are your thoughts?
I didn't know Watkins was injured.
I thought Watkins just had like a catch that he had to get checked out by the trainers or something, and he was fine.
Everything I've been reading about him is like
he's
rave
been lighting
reviews,
it up.
Just phenomenal.
Yeah, Darius didn't pass the...
Darius.
That's what Dan Dierow calls him. That was intentional. You remember how we made fun of him that whole time?
He was also in court.
He's had some court some legal problems, and then he didn't pass the run. Can you stop?
Oh, is he doing it again?
Yeah.
So light it up.
No, one thing I noticed.
Fire!
It's the fish oil.
No, after,
fire water.
No, after watching. Oh, yeah. This has been going on a lot longer than since you've been eating fish oil. But the way you ate that apple cobbler, have you ever thought about intentionally eating slower?
Yeah, I've never
I
tried
think that
it,
would
but
help
I thought
you.
About it.
I think it would help you.
Why?
Because maybe the food's a little bit more digestible. And
well, it certainly
your,
is.
Your stomach's not doing all that work to... dissolving
you it's not good to eat quickly like that. That's not good.
I mean, that was ridiculous mother. What you did.
That's how I always eat.
I know,
but it's not good.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not good for you.
What do you know?
What's the matter, Fred? You don't like your vegetables?
Yeah, you didn't eat your vegetables.
Yeah.
What kind of example are you setting for the children of America?
Children of America aren't here right now.
They're
some of them are listening.
This is not a show for the children of America.
Some of them unfortunately listen.
Yeah.
I blame the parents, but they're listening.
Ben, speaking of the children of America, Chester in Portland writes in and says, F the Jets.
Ben, are you hung?
It's good to have the whole team back. A few weeks ago, during the Fred Jackie Maury show, I mentioned that all of this hype on Jamie Collins was unnerving to me, and I'm wondering if you guys are as cautiously optimistic as I am when it comes to his year two impact.
Yep. 11 games, two or fewer tackles last year.
It seems as though many are crowning him as the next Patrick Willis, and while I hope he shines mightily, I'd hate to see him, see him ensure what Chandler Jones dealt with in terms of living up to the hype versus just improving over the previous years. Sometimes less hype is better, and I would hate to see him trying too hard to be a star. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, can't wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right. No, I'm sorry. Finish the email.
You can't wait for interrupt and jump down their throats and attack.
That's right. I should learn from you.
Go ahead.
I was going to say.
Go ahead.
I think people sometimes are too worried about a player's expectations. What if the expectations are right on? What if he does become a great player? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with expecting greatness from the players that you draft or that you bring in as free agents?
What if they're unwarranted or unrealistic?
I mean, this is a guy that was drafted in the second round.
as a raw project
from
a bad team.
I don't think it's realistic to think that he's going to be the next Patrick Willis.
Well, it's a different position.
It's a different position.
A right, but a player of that
I also
stature.
Think that Chandler Jones is a bad example because I think he had a better rookie year than what
yes, that what
Collins
we thought.
Did.
Yeah. And what we expected from him.
Collins started the last 8 games, but wasn't really an impact guy till very late in the year. And I think people just see that Colts game and they're like, whoa, he can do this, he can do that. Right. Let's pump the brakes. He did it once. Maybe it was just a roundhouse right that caught somebody's chin.
I'm sorry, Paul.
No, go ahead.
I also think it's people sometimes assume that because we're talking about a player and the expectations that the player is actually hearing all this. I don't think it's necessarily the case that these players go back and read everything and watch everything about themselves.
Certainly not here on this show, because we get a lot more dirty looks if they were.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I say nothing but good things.
So the fact that a player has pressure or expectations on him might not really mean much if he doesn't feel them or hear them.
But he's also a cocky SOB, and I'm sure he's expecting big things.
You think he's an SOB?
No, I think he's a cocky SOB. If you just say an SOB, that's bad. Cocky SOB is good.
That's
that?
Good.
Yes.
Why?
Be a cocky SOB?
That's a cocky son of a bitch.
Yeah, he thinks he's good. He knows he's good. He's going
like
to show you he's good.
You tell those bastards in Houston that
but if
the
I just
Yankees
say you're an SOB, that's not so good.
Remember that?
You are an SOB.
You've called me worse. Yeah.
I'm a cocky SOB.
I would also say
one's good, one's bad.
No. He had the great performance against the Colts where I thought he was especially impressive in dealing with Kobe Fleener. But then it didn't go as well with Julius Thomas. The very
you
next
know, the
week,
the all-world tight end that is Kobe Fleener.
No, well,
he had a good year.
But my
he's
point,
fine.
My
but
point
in the
being,
rank, if you ranked the top tight ends in the NFL against
yet.
This guy you're
right.
projecting
not,
as a Pro Bowl
right.
elite athlete, Kobe Fleener's got a long way to go before he breaks the top.
But
15.
The only point I'm trying to make by pointing out those two games is he sort of was declared like this great coverage linebacker against tight ends, based on. Really one game. The next game, not that he was terrible against them. I mean, he was on the list of defensive problems. He was not high on it against Denver. You know, when Tlaib went down and Dennard got absolutely torched and, you know, the safety play wasn't great that day, but he wasn't really good on Julius Thomas either. Thomas made some big catches that day. So I don't really know
right.
how
and Julius
how
Thomas
good,
is no Jimmy Graham.
And I don't know
you
how
don't believe
good
it. Just
he
ask
is.
John Elway, who said, Julius Thomas, you're no Jimmy Graham.
Right.
Dustin. We didn't talk about Pat Bowlen, by the way.
Yeah,
oh,
that's,
yeah,
that's sad.
That it is sad, and I was very – you guys, probably none of you watched it, but 24, that was one of the storylines this year. The president of the U.S. has Alzheimer's, and he's battling, figuring out when he has to step down, when it's reached the point. And I got to think that's been the case in Denver for X number of years.
It just happened, right?
I guess and he then, has a big going to the
well, we
meetings
remember,
lately.
Right. When we were at Denver, remember he yes. walked down, we said, wow, he doesn't look good.
Yeah. We did.
He looked very frail and kind of.
He did.
Yeah.
And then the bad person in me, the only thing I could get in my head was, this one's for. Who's this one for?
See.
And they could have won it last year.
Peyton.
Like, would he have been out there?
Yeah. Drop the cocky. You're an SOB.
No
I would say drop the Y. You're
a... I guess this was pretty funny. Frank Caliendo read the LeBron SI thing
right.
with a Morgan Freeman Shawshank voice.
He's good.
He's very
Frank
good.
Oh, have you guys seen this new show, Mike Carbonaro Effect? The Mike Carbonaro Effect? It's like a candid camera show, but he's a magician, and he does these he'll be at a bar, he'd be the bartender, and he'll do these like
– Irish bar?
Any bar. It doesn't matter.
Germany?
In Germany.
And like, you know, he'll have this endless bottle of beer that'll pour it, and like
– People will be like
– Yeah, it's like all these little setup scenes like that. It's really funny. I was watching it at the airport laughing out loud.
Everyone around him going, what is this guy
Mike Carbonaro.
At?
Where were you watching? On your phone?
On the airport.
On the airport.
No,
you were watching it
they
on
the
airport.
TVs up on the, while you're in the waiting areas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought they always had like news on those. I've never sat down
Well, they
had
like special presentations and stuff like that. They said this is
yeah, CNN's
on
always on.
Yeah, that's what I feel right. like.
Dustin in South Carolina.
They have to shut it off now because every time he's talking about an airplane missing.
Right. Yeah, did they find that one in Africa?
Don't
no,
think
there's
so.
Another one
missing today.
Crashed.
Yeah.
63
It's
people.
Definitely
it crashed. Right. 116, I thought.
116, yeah.
The one in
going over
going
Bali
to
or
Burkina Faso.
Mali. Yeah. Going over Mali. Anyway, Bali, Dustin in South Carolina. I'm working, so I can't listen, but I've been wondering about this for a while. And since it's the offseason, I'm guessing this is the right time for this type of talk. But it might come across as a salty Patriots fan type of question, considering the loss of both the Super Bowls in 07 and 11. But I was wondering, what would you guys think about making the Super Bowl a best 2 out of 3?
No.
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 Absolutely not.
No.
It's not a sport made for series.
No.
Do you think?
No.
No. And why would you ever do that? It's the greatest single sporting event day
exactly.
in the
world.
Why would you
yeah.
ruin it?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I just don't think the sport lends itself to a series. The same teams playing 3 weeks in a row.
Well, I mean, it could. What's the difference?
No, I know you could do it, but I don't think it would be good.
No.
Plenty of teams play back-to-back weeks,
football is a game
right?
of 60 minutes like, played in a gridiron.
Fred, I'll give this one to you. You always talk about the division games.
Yes.
And how you know.
I always talk about that.
But you always say, even when there's a disparity between the talent levels, the division games, they often get mired down into
right.
lower-scoring, tight games that aren't really well played. I mean, just
right.
One of the best rivalries, if not the best right now, has got to be Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch any of those games? They stink. They're terrible games to watch. They kill each other.
Right.
But
it would be interesting.
I think
you
if
could
you
play.
Played the same, you played a 2 out of 3 series in the playoffs. I think the third game would be terrible.
Yeah, they'd be bringing guys
say,
off the street.
It'd be interesting because you could play one at each stadium and then a neutral site to end
but
it.
But you wouldn't be guaranteed.
But you wouldn't be guaranteed
third
the third game.
Well, or would you get David Stern to take over for Goodell, and then you'd have guaranteed?
Does anybody need to take over for Goodell?
No.
Steve from Illinois. Love listening to the latest shows without Fred, Andy, and Paul together. They've been horrible. And keep Jackie off the radio and on video where she belongs. She certainly doesn't bring anything.
Speaking of salty.
Now to LaFell.
I just can't read.
Now to LaFell. Who cares where he lines up if he doesn't provide a mismatch? All that matters is what the opposing defenses see him as and what they put on the field to cover him, a linebacker or a corner. Now, if he can't take advantage of whichever they put out there, then it doesn't matter where he lines up on the field.
See, I'll rewind it even more. If he can't catch the football, it doesn't matter where he lines up on the field. Once he proves that he doesn't deserve the reputation that we've heard of, which I think so far is questionable at best, then none of that other stuff matters. It won't matter to Brady either, because you throw to him too many times, he drops it, he'll stop throwing to you.
This is funny. I'm watching this State Farm snap decision on ESPN. Who is more likely to win another Super Bowl, Brady or Manning? And it's been going back and forth between 50 plus or minus 53-47%. And it's just going back and forth. There's another minute and a half left. Right now it's 51-49 in favor of Brady.
50-50.
51-49 Brady. It's the age-old debate. It doesn't look like there's any more definitive answer with the fans.
Mike in New York, this might be an inside joke with Kevin, but he says, please tell Kevin the youth of America looks up to him. You know what that has to do with, Kevin?
No, but now that I think of it, who's that from again?
Mike in New York.
Yeah, he tweeted that at me the other day, so I don't know what that deal's
about.
Got
a stalker.
Did you do something publicly for youth?
No, I don't think so.
Youths.
Okay.
I'm not really that old either.
You just look it.
Jeremy look in
got the Perillo going on
in Regina,
Aaron
Saskatchewan.
Aaron Ross tore his ACL doing the conditioning run or the
what?
Or his Achilles.
In where
one of the
Regina?
Two.
Oh, I
who is it?
Jeremy.
I just heard the end of him saying it.
Eric, have you been there?
The Regina monologues.
Fine, I think. It'd
been a while. Where is Regina? Canada,
Saskatchewan.
I thought it was in Canada.
Glad that someone else is running the show.
Oh, shut up,
Andy is a terrible host. He's a grumpy bastard.
Yeah, I am.
I wanted to bring up the glass cannon comment from last week and clear up what it means a bit. Glass cannon is a gaming term basically meaning that the person has potential for very high damage output but can get blown up and taken out of the game very easily as well. The first name that came to mind to describe this would be Michael Vick because of his ability to devastate defenses but his high probability of being injured. Besides that, just wanted to say I'm super pumped for football.
Thanks for
and
asking.
I'm so glad to hear that Gronkowski seems to be ready to roll. Keep up the great work.
So I might consider Jimmy Graham a glass cannon because physically he can be taken out of the game.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's true.
I might have to start using that. I throw it out there and see if people say, what the hell does that
mean? Roz writes in, I have a question about the defense with all the hype, and let's say they don't deliver. What does this say about Bill's coaching?
Brady wins 51-49.
Yeah.
See, that's not fair. It was all based on when it ended, right?
Right.
Well, I'm a little bit surprised at that, honestly.
I am too.
It was just hilarious that it never went beyond 53-47 in either direction. Both of them were up 53-47 at various points.
It's like a World Cup game, though. They just picked a time, ended it, and 51 wins.
Yep. But I would think nationally, just because of the makeup of Denver, and that Denver, the team, would be given the edge, thus Manning would be given
Well, Darrell Revis is a massive offseason addition, yeah. And maybe you're coming off the Gronk is healthy news.
And I think people are also looking at the difficulty of the losing team in the Super Bowl to get back. That hurts the team that loses more than – that affects the team that loses more than wins.
True.
I know a lot of people think it's tough to repeat.
Well, right.
Teams have repeated in the NFL more than any other sport.
Certainly appears to affect them more. Like, I don't know the exact
plus it's
direct
Manning's,
connect.
Manning's going to fall off the cliff this year.
That could be it, yes.
We'll end the show with Gary in Toronto. I'm emailing to let you know that Andy has been a bad influence on me. I recently took a first aid course, and on day two, the instructor covered broken bones and the use of splints. He said, and I quote, "Let's assume your wife is walking through the kitchen. She slips and falls and breaks her leg. What do you do? You need to find something hard and stiff and put it between her legs." As he continued to talk, I started to laugh.
I'm sorry, but even I would have laughed at
and,
that.
And to my surprise, I was the only one giggling. I felt like Andy when Fred explained about the field turf at Reliant Stadium. For this, I blame Andy.
I can't blame you on that one, Andy.
No.
If an instructor says you need to put something hard and stiff between the woman's legs, I'm sorry. That's
and nobody else was laughing?
Now, that elicits laughs.
I think the better comparison is I'm the instructor and saying it a specific way to try to elicit laughs from people.
And also, saying it with that little giggle grin on your face.
And he's coming to the Denver game with his two sons and nephew, so he wants to know if he can buy lunch that day. So, Kevin, Gary from Toronto.
Well, I don't know, Fred. Can you be trusted with children in the room, or are you going to ask them inappropriate questions again?
I don't know. Depends on
you
what
guys
you
hung.
Depends on how you twist it.
You ever been to Regina?
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW
in
Progress.
Regina?
Camp is back. We're all happy about
Ben,
that.
You hung?
We'll be here all weekend covering the team and throughout. So make sure that Patriots.com is your one place you're getting all the information, because it's the most accurate and the most
awesome
coverage. Good.
Thorough. Game.
As for the show, we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.